Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills at Lake Air in Waco.
Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you in part by Walk-On's Bistro and Bar.
Now Burrow going to launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Touchdown, LSU. It took a while, but the Bayou Bengals offense says join the party. Burrow from the pocket, launches to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Chase! And LSU takes its first lead tonight.
The 12 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Prompt Technology.
Burrow's got time. Launching for the end zone. Jump ball. Touchdown. Terrence Marshall.
So happy for our team. This is about our team. This is about our coaching staff. About everybody wanting to put one goal in the great state of Louisiana. I'm just so happy for everybody.
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
And good afternoon on this Tuesday, January the 14th, 12:01 is the time here on ESPN Central Texas, and UNR is in studio for a full 3 hours on this Tuesday afternoon, the day following the national championship game. College football officially over for the 2019-2020 season, and now it's on to the second national signing day. It's on to a parade for LSU, who is your national champions, after a pretty good whipping of Clemson, quite frankly, when all was said and done. And it's on to spring football here in about a month's time, a little over a month's time for some teams out there. And for Baylor, spring football is right around the corner, but they have yet to hire a head coach. So as we start a new calendar year in college football, Baylor's still looking for the next man in charge, and LSU celebrating a title. That is one of the things that we will talk about this afternoon on the show. Also got a lot of fallout still going on from the Astros punishment yesterday, as we talked about at length, and we'll talk about that a bit more this afternoon as well, and a lot more to get to that we'll run down in a moment. But Craig Smoke with you as always, joined as always by your boy Q. How are we doing this afternoon?
Really good. Enjoyed that game last night. It was a lot of fun. It was entertaining as far as I'm concerned. There was a lot of NFL prospects out there on the field. I mean, if you're looking at the first round just in general, just the first round, there was probably 8 or 9 guys out there that will be called on April 23rd. So that just lets you know all the talent that was on display last night between LSU and Clemson. Thought it was a hell of a game. Like you said, it got out of control late, but still, there was a lot of punches being thrown in the middle of the ring, so I really enjoyed what I saw.
Yeah, there were a lot of top guys out there on both sides of football. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong on this, and the draft, I'm sure numbers-wise, says differently, but man, it just seems like college football is becoming more top-heavy. When you look at how good LSU was, and they were so much better than everybody else they faced, that there was really, you can maybe make the case for an Ohio State as a close second, but we don't know because we're not going to see those two teams play. But you saw them against the best out of the Big 12, and they romped them. You saw them against the best out of the ACC, a completely unbeaten team walking in, and pretty much dominated them when all was said and done. If you take away that first half, and I know you can't take away the first half, but Clemson played with them for about a half and a quarter. I mean, it was a game where that last few minutes, LSU, you know, they had it in fully control, but they're just so much better than everybody. And with these transfer rules and these quarterbacks able to come in and plug and play, do you think it's more top-heavy now than it's been, or do you think it's more of an even playing field than it's been? Because it just feels like the LSUs, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, they're even further out ahead now from some of the other teams than maybe they were before the transfer rules and before all of the various other changes to college football.
I mean, I could see that, but I mean, we weren't really talking about LSU like this, a couple years ago. You know, we really weren't. We were talking about, hey, how come they can't get an offense? How come they don't have a quarterback? How come, they're going through all this, coaching questions and stuff like that? So LSU has always been so strong defensively, but I mean, just to have the offensive dogs that they had out there, the wide receivers, the running backs. I mean, they had guys, like I said, there's 8 or 9 first round draft picks between the two teams, Clemson and LSU, but that's just first round. I mean, there were so many NFL dudes out there last night that you pretty much are going to see what the first maybe 3 rounds look like just by watching that game last night. So yeah, I could totally see that, but I mean, that's kind of where where the best players want to go. And that's why what Matt Rhule was able to do at Baylor and be able to get guys that weren't necessarily four stars and five stars to go there and excel and be really good studs. Like James Lynch is going to be a guy I'm very interested to see how this draft process goes. He's a hell of a player. Not necessarily a big time player like these dudes we saw last night, but he's up there on that. You know, he could play on that stage.
Yeah, certainly. You know, Matt Rhule made a comment in one of the various interviews that he did. He's done so many interviews over the last couple of months. Like, I think he's made multiple appearances on certain podcasts, and you just get him confused because you're like, is this the one from a month ago with Ian Rappaport, or is this the one from like last week? Or so he's done a lot of different interviews, and I'm not going to be in the habit of listening to him every single time he talks anymore just because it's not as of much interest, you know? Like him talking about Christian McCaffrey after I hear that a couple times, I'm not going to necessarily want to, you know, hear that again in July. But we're going to keep tabs on Matt Rhule and wish him the best and hope that he does really, really well for himself in Carolina. If he wins a Super Bowl, that's nothing but a good look for Baylor, you know, ultimately. So, and for Temple and, you know, any other spot that wants to claim him. But, you know, he made a comment in one of his posts hiring by the Panthers interviews where he'd, you know, admitted that he'd always kind of been an NFL guy. But one thing that just stood out to me was he talked about why the NFL, and he's like, because everybody gets the same players. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets to pick their players. And he didn't go into, it's not like in college football where you recruit and all of that, but I think you just see where recruiting pays off in college football. And this is going to sound crazy, and this is not as a result of last night by any means. This is something that's kind of been bubbling for me. I'm not Mr. All love the NFL like Q is, and probably never will love the NFL as much as Q does, but I found myself far more enjoying the NFL product this weekend than I did the national championship game, and I've actually found myself enjoying the playoffs more than most of the bowl games, which isn't a surprise because those matter a lot more than the bowl games, but I'm talking about the bowl games that matter too. And, you know, the results probably have an effect on that somewhat because when it whittled down to it, a lot of those games ended up by the fourth quarter being, you know, blowout type of affairs. But, you know, just the talent level is so shifted towards certain teams, whereas in the NFL it is more even. And if you're not succeeding in the NFL, it's because you hired a bad head coach or you drafted bad. Bottom mm-hmm. line, yep. That's the only reason why you're not successful. You hired a bad head coach who can't coach the players on his roster, or you didn't draft very well, or you signed bad free agents. But in college football, you can do your damnedest. You can try your hardest. You can recruit every player under the sun, and they just want to go to Clemson or LSU and play for a national title, and yep. You're left with what's left over. And so it's not diminishing my love for college football, but I will admit on the air that my love for college football is floundering a little bit just because it's not as even of a playing field. And that's not something that we haven't known for forever and ever, but it's just so obvious when you watch games like last night how much of a disparity there is between Team 1 and Team 10.
Right.
Whereas in the NFL, Team 1 and Team 22 might actually be pretty close. It just doesn't show it records-wise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. The record could be completely different, but still have a lot of talent. That's why it's always foolish when people say, oh, the best college football team could beat the worst NFL team.
You think anybody was saying the LSU could like beat the Browns
last
night?
I'm sure somebody was.
Yeah.
But guess what? Those 53 players on the Browns would beat the brakes off of LSU.
Yeah.
It's just simple as that, and it's the dumbest thing ever when people start saying that and start throwing that comparison out there. Oh, this team is so bad that LSU could beat them or Alabama could beat them. No, they can't. They just can't. They're the best of the best for a reason. And that's why I'm a big NFL fan, because I like to see the best of the best, the guys who are supposed to be the very best at what they do. Every guy in college football, for the most part, the guys that get recruited, they were at some point the best player on their high school team.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to college, you're not all of a sudden, you're not the best player. And then guess what? When you get to the NFL, you're probably not going to be the best player in your position on that team. You'll still be really high up there, but compared to what you were in high school and what you were in college, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, the NFL still has its issues with me. For example, their rules forever changing and never quite being clarified in some cases, and the fact that they're still kind of like handicapped by that, it feels like for the, you know, the third or fourth year in a row where we're in the postseason and we're all arguing about what calls are supposed to be made or why this official's not calling this, and why even bring up a new rule if you're not even going to establish it the right way. So there are things like that. It's, you know, college football is very corporate as well. Let's not pretend like it's all, you know, pom-poms and, you know, graduations and things like that. It's very corporate in its own right. All you got to do is look at all the sponsors a part of that broadcast.
Right.
But the NFL is just a bit more corporate. It's very business-like, and that's not really ever appealed to me.
It's all about the money.
Yeah, it's all about the money, and it's all about, hey, beat up here on your kid, it's fine. We'll suspend you a couple games. We'll still pay you your money. And so that part of the NFL, I don't necessarily love, But the best of the best, and watching the playoff games versus, you know, watching some of the college football games that we see from time to time, I have changed my tune a little bit. And so, yeah, that Matt Rule quote just kept ringing with me last night, watching LSU and Clemson just be clearly better than most everybody I watched this year. And LSU, clearly the best of the best. Steven Simcox with us as well. Steven, you got any thoughts on what we've been talking about so far?
Well, I mean, LSU, fantastic team, and that was a fun game to watch last night. But, no, I mean, I agree with you, Craig. I think and it's kind of funny to say this because the whole point – well, one of the points we were told of the playoff era was to give everybody a shot. But I feel like at least in the BCS era, you felt like the smaller schools, okay, if they got a neutral field with somebody for one night, maybe they could win a game. But I just don't see a way where a team could run the gauntlet. I mean, LSU had to beat – you know, Oklahoma and Clemson last night. So if you're sitting, if you're coming in as a four seed, like OU, for instance, if that was like Baylor or TCU, Iowa State, one of the smaller schools in the Big 12, they would have had to have beaten LSU and then beaten Clemson or Ohio State within a three-week period. And with the talent on the field, that just doesn't seem real plausible. And, I mean, that's a frustrating part of it. And I understand, like, recruiting, it can be hit or miss. But the bottom line is, if you look at the national champs, you're always going to see their classes in the last 4 years have been in that top five range. And that's just how it is. And yeah, you can get other players, and there are plenty of talented people around the state of Texas and around the country, and you can develop them and you can make up some of that and, you know, claw your way to a decent record. But if you want to play in those games last night, it just seems like you have to have a bunch of 5- and 4-star guys on your roster. And that's a disadvantage that is really hard to overcome. And I think it's also made, you know, even the New Year's Six games, like the Rose Bowl to me, and I know the Sugar Bowl is a huge deal for Baylor, and I know it kind of varies between what the expectations were for the fan base, but if you don't make the playoffs, the bowl games just don't really matter that much. I mean, people, guys sit out because it's more of an exhibition. If you get a nice win, it's good. Like, it's a good springboard for your program, but ultimately people just don't really remember it as much anymore because they're so focused on the semifinal and the national title game that I think it's really taking a lot of the air out of bowl season as well.
Yeah, I think when you look at a team like TCU and they beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl, now that had been the playoff era. Hey, Q, TCU beat Wisconsin. That's fantastic. Turn around and go play Clemson now.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yep.
And they weren't even in the Big 12 at the time. So do you think they were going to really out-coach Clemson, you know, if that was
right,
what the setup was,
not
or out-talent them? You know, and it made me think, too, in hearing Matt Rule say that was probably a big driving force in wanting to go to the NFL. You know, one of the various reasons that he wanted to go to the NFL, because he probably had to look at Baylor's roster and go, we're just never going to be on the level. Like, we can recruit all we want to. We're just not going to be on the same level as an LSU. I think it probably dawned on them even further in that Sugar Bowl, because you look at the number of guys that Georgia was missing, and, you know, you look at a random Georgia rider, they had like 25 guys missing. Then you read an actual guy, and he's saying, oh, well, there's 7 guys that are sitting. And then another guy saying, well, there's 13. So that was all over the place. Bottom line was they were missing some players in that game who were very talented guys. But was there any doubt that they were still way more talented than Baylor, even with all those backups and true freshmen?
That's why that was such a stupid point. I mean, not stupid, that's disrespectful, but
right,
it was like a moot point. Like, okay, well, they're missing so many guys. And?
It was supposed to set up for the excuse if they lost.
If they lost,
but
right.
But the reality was they were still a far more talented team. So I'm just curious if anybody else has, you know, formed an opinion based on the playoff now that we've seen it for a few years. Has it been better or worse for college football, in your opinion? Because I do feel like we cared a bit more about the Rose Bowl as a non-playoff game prior to the playoff. I do feel like we cared a bit more about Boise State, Oklahoma, and the Fiesta versus if we saw it right now, it's a non-playoff game. I don't think we care about it as much. If it's a playoff game, we care a little bit, but does anybody really think if Boise State beats OU, they're going to turn around and beat an LSU or a Clemson or an Ohio State or one of like the 7 teams that make it pretty much every year? I don't think any of us believe that, and so I'm just curious. Because it's been dawning on me the last couple of weekends more and more, and then I hear Matt Rule's comment, and something just kind of clicked with me in my head about the difference between college and the NFL.
Kinda, you just wanted to come on over to the dark side, brother. It's okay.
No.
Everyone likes to spend some time on the dark side. Welcome.
But it's kind of a dual-part question. Have you found more enjoyment or less enjoyment because of the college football playoff in this time of year for college football? Has it made things better? Like you always thought the playoff would, because remember when everybody wanted the playoff, and then we got it, and it wasn't exactly how everybody saw it, but hey, we've got a million different opinions on how you can do it. So Has a playoff made college football better or worse, in your opinion, than versus what it was before? And do you have any thoughts on the NFL being the best of the best? Do you view it kind of the way that we're talking about it here versus college football? Or are you still a college football person over everything? And if so, I'd love to hear why. I would imagine a lot of it will have to do with you went to that school, so you've got that personal connection, or you just love the fight songs or whatever the case may be. But maybe there's somebody out there listening that has flip-flopped on their opinion as well for whatever reason, and you can hit us up at 254-662-1660. We're going to talk that national championship game. I don't want to take away from how good of a game that was for about three quarters, and it sure looked like Clemson early on was maybe going to upset the world with their performance. Just did not have enough in the tank for LSU, so we'll be talking about that on the show today as well. And not only can you jump on the phone line, you can also jump on the Bush's Chicken text line, mind you, as well at 254-662-1660. But we're going to have some national championship talk. We'll also have Patrick Walker of CBS Sports joining us today at 12:30. Talk the latest, I guess, on the Cowboys. It's been kind of quiet, quite frankly, since the hiring last week of Mike McCarthy. But now they're out at, you know, Shrine Bowl and East-West game and all the other all-star games, scouting and getting ready for the upcoming combine and pro days and draft. So we'll get into all that with Patrick Walker here at 12:30. At 1 o'clock, we'll have NFL news and notes with Cover 3. At 1:30, Colt Barber, Sikkim 365, talking the latest on the Baylor head coaching search and also Baylor basketball as well, both the men's and women's teams now number two in the country. Men with a big game tomorrow night at home, and it would be good to see a lot of folks show up for the number two team in the country. At 2:30, Richard Justice, MLB.com, will join us to give us his thoughts on the baseball offseason as well as the fallout from the Astros' decision yesterday to part ways with both GM and manager in light of MLB's penalties. So 254-662-1660, your thoughts, where your love lies when it comes to football. Are you more pro or college person? And do you think the playoff is made things better or worse for the college football fans out there? Do you think it's made the product better or worse? Or is it kind of like it's done to me, just shown even more of a disparity between the haves and the have-nots? And your thoughts on that game last night. Joe Burrow finishing off one of the greatest seasons you will ever see by an individual player and by a team as well. We'll talk about that. 254-662-1660. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back home in the Farrell Center Wednesday hosting Iowa State. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday for the Bears and the Cyclones Big 12 basketball.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
Don't miss the Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center. You'll find great items at terrific prices on new and used guns, knives, swords, hunting gear, books, coins, medals, and ammo. Best of all, you'll enjoy browsing with the benefit of paying discount prices. Hours are 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday. Bring in your old gun and trade up for the gun you've always wanted. Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center in Belton.
Qualifications and rules apply. See Genco FCU for details.
Ask for Casasa.
Warning, free Genco Casasa checking may lead to a rise in disposable income due to cash back on everyday debit card purchases, refunds on ATM fees, and eliminations of so-called service fees. Increased satisfaction may result while operating your Genco debit card. If you suffer from chronic money loss, search for help at any Genco branch office. This has been a financial health advisory courtesy of Genco FCU. It's like money medicine for your shopping habit.
Did you know that one out of every four men have symptomatic low levels of testosterone and don't even know it? And if you think you're too young to worry about it, guess again. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy, cause weight gain, and wreak havoc on your sexual desire and performance. Petty Clinic Low T can set up same-day blood screening and results, so if you're tired of being tired, I challenge you to man up. It's a private clinic with an atmosphere catering to men. Affordable, only $150 a month, includes lab work, office consultation, testosterone injections, follow-up visits, compared to $395 a month in Dallas or Austin, and you don't have to fight the traffic. Petty Clinic Low T is board-certified physician consultations, will provide the best form of brand-strength testosterone available. Listen up. If you're looking for increased energy and strength, improvement in sexual desire and performance, elevated mood, focus, concentration, contact Petty Clinic Low T today. Just off Highway 84 and Old Hewitt Drive in Woodway, Petty Clinic Low T. PettyClinicLowT.com or Google search Low T Waco.
You have a business or a school or a team that needs to put their logo on something? Then let the pros at Mallory Screen Printing and Embroidery do the job for you. They can customize your logo on t-shirts, caps, dress shirts, golf shirts, winter apparel, and more. Stickers for any occasion, banners and signs, large or small. See more at MalloryPrint.com or call 1-800-433-2220. For your next custom screen printing or embroidery, check out their full catalog at MalloryPrint.com.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services.
Oh, Conor McGregor back on our screens. The hype in full gear for his fight on Saturday night. We talked about it last Friday with Helen Yee. But Conor back on Saturday in the UFC, and kind of a must-win situation for old Conor McGregor. And he's already talking about a rematch with Floyd Mayweather. How about you win a UFC fight for the first time in about 3 years you start worrying about a boxing rematch that you're likely to lose?
He wants that money. That's what he's focused on.
All he cares
he's on
about.
That. He's on that Mayweather train. Mayweather's probably his best friend.
Yeah, it was disappointing to hear his interview that I was talking about last week where it seemed like he had kind of got that flicker back in his eye and seemed to be talking like the McGregor of old, which I said, you know, is one of two things. It's either a guy who's desperate now and he's resorting back to where he's successful in hopes that he can match that spark, which a lot of times doesn't work out, or he really is that way. And that would be awesome to see, just him focused in, you know, business mode and not playing the fool all the time. As much as sometimes him playing the fool is pretty fun, but you know, for him to have that interview and then 2 days later I hear him about talking about a Mayweather rematch. I guess he wasn't all that serious about being serious.
No. Nah.
And still just about the money, which is a bit disappointing. Let's go to Patrick in Waco. You're on ESPN Central Texas. What's up, Patrick?
Yeah, I would say that for me the NFL playoffs have been more interesting than I can remember. I mean, I actually have watched them the last 2 weeks, weekends. But I would also say that my interest in the college football playoff has increased because, I mean, Ohio State and Clemson was a great game. Mm-hmm. Now, Oklahoma maybe didn't deserve to be in that game, and for the people at Alabama, they can be talking about 1 second back on the clock. But I'll also say that if you look at the NCAA basketball, when is – someone else than the big school is going to win in that arena? Never. So I think you've taken out some of the things as far as our team is better than yours, even though we were ranked lower, because you do have at least a playoff now in the football arena for college, and you didn't have that before.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Hey, appreciate the phone call. And, yeah, we have been treated, and maybe that's tainting my thoughts somewhat, is that the games in the NFL have been pretty top-notch
across the board. And that's not every year in the playoffs. In the playoffs, a lot of times we can say, okay, look, this team, say the Baltimore Ravens, are the team that's probably going to run the table and end up in the Super Bowl, and then boom, they do. Or like the Seattle Seahawks when they were on their run. Or we could say, insert the Patriots. This year it's been great without the Patriots there.
Yeah, it has.
You know what I mean? I think that's a lot of the refreshment to football fans, not just NFL fans, but football fans, is that you're not looking at Tom Brady. You're seeing the Tennessee Titans go on a crazy run. You're seeing Baltimore, who was the favorite, all of a sudden they're gone. Packers, they have a bounce back with a first-time head coach. I mean, there's so many storylines that are going. San Francisco, where they come from? They came back from the dead with defense. I mean, there's so many storylines that this is not necessarily going to be that next year.
Yeah, and for college, it's pretty much the same teams every single year. I think that's what's going to hurt ultimately. I can name you seven teams, and three of those seven will be in this thing like pretty much every single year. And, you know, with basketball, it's a very good point. But I will say at the same time, you know, if you're a conference winner, you're in. If you're in the top half of your conference, you're in. Like, you have a chance. Whereas with this...
And there's always a Cinderella that makes a run that might not win the whole thing, but it was a fun run.
Okay, let me ask you this. How many times Texas Tech played for a football national championship?
Exactly. How many times are they going to play for a national championship?
None. When did they last play for it in basketball? Last year.
Exactly.
You know, Virginia... What are they doing in football? They're on the come up, but they're not playing for national titles.
No.
They won it last year. You know, Villanova, Michigan, Gonzaga, North Carolina schools, UConn, Butler. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on of just the national title games, not to mention the Final Four games. So I agree with you to an extent, but I also say you do get your Butlers and you get your Villanovas.
And stars are always born in March Madness.
Yeah, yeah,
there's always players that you want to follow. There's always storylines. Sister Jean. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different things that you could pick and say, oh, that was a great moment.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. So these teams get a chance, and then they get to go on. And so I'm not advocating for a 64-team football playoff or even going past, like, eight. I don't think that would be beneficial either. And it could just be me feeling this type of way, but I think it's just seeing Clemson again. And seeing, you know, LSU somewhat kind of new to it. They're not an every year thing, but still, it's just some thoughts that pass through me. So, Patrick, enjoying both sides of things. And I'm enjoying both sides of things as well. I'm just enjoying the NFL a little bit more. So, your thoughts on that? 254-662-1660. Thanks so much, Patrick. Let's go to Joe in DFW, and then we'll take a break. Joe, you're on ESPN Central Texas.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. But I could take this about 12 different ways right now. My mind's just going wonders. I'm not going to poo-poo on any NFL guys because, hey, the NFL is what it is. It's exciting this year. There's, like Q said, there's a lot of good stories going on right now that nobody expected to happen or nobody thought. Or some people wrote it off, and now it completely changed. So I get that. But definitely live with college still. With the playoff, I could see it increasing and getting a few more teams in there. That's always going to be the bugaboo for everybody that I hear about and the different things that I look at. But as far as anybody else, I mean, I just – it's hard to compare the college basketball and the college football together and then, of course, throwing in the NFL with college football because money's a big involvement with all of it because – your bowl games are all about money. Your teams that are playing basketball are all about money because Gonzaga doesn't even have a football team because their school chooses not to go that way. So it's really tough to go with that last call I was talking about with March Madness and all that. It's tough to compare those two. But yeah, I think if the NCAA has been okay, it's still got my attention. I just think this year was different with all the stuff that's been going on, especially going on with Baylor and having the success and then Rule Even. It's just kind of a whirlwind right now. So, but I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my call, Phil.
Hey, appreciate it, Joe, as always. And, definitely. I can think around here there's probably some people college football fatigue. That's not so much for me. I even had that thought, like, hey, are you thinking this way just because you're a little sour on, you know, like just their coaching change? And like that's not at all part of my feelings. But I can see where some people in this area might be a bit college football fatigued right now because of just the whirlwind of the last couple
of weeks.
Everybody
just wants to know who their coach is going to be.
Exactly right. And we're not any closer to it. It appears, honestly, there's no coaching update to give you today. So we're on a full week now. Is this about a full week?
Oh, yeah. Happened last Monday.
So we're over a week now. It shows how much I remember from the whirlwind that was the 5 days we worked last week. But your thoughts on what Joe said there? Anything to add on to that?
I can see where he's coming from. You know, I think a lot of college fans probably just want to see the college football playoff expand. And my only like argument with that is because, I mean, I've always been an advocate of the four is fine with me. I just feel like the four is fine with me because of what you said when you started the show. Like, the competition level is so much higher. I mean, we saw what happened to Oklahoma. They got destroyed. Now, I'm not saying LSU, the team that LSU is going to go up against the number four team every year and just be that big of a difference. But, I mean, the competition is just so much bigger, you know? And I don't care how good you are in a certain conference. I mean, there's just certain teams that aren't going to be able to compete.
Yeah, and never will be able to compete.
No.
And then the moment that they do, that coach gets hired by one of the bigger schools.
Right.
And so it's just, I don't know, just the thing with college football about how the Blue Bloods always stay on top, I think just becomes year after year, just, it's always been obvious, but it's just like, is this really what I enjoy the most, is seeing the same schools benefit the most every single year? And in, at least in the NFL or in other pro sports leagues, like the Marlins get their chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bulls rise up and, you know, go on a play. Like somebody eventually jumped. The Browns have their moment in the sun, even if it's fleeting. But in college football, you get that like Baylor this year, for example. But, you know, ultimately the finale was really just bleh.
Right.
You know, it resulted in you going into a game where the other team says they don't even want to be there. They're still way more talented than you are. And then you lose your coach afterwards.
I think the Sugar Bowl was very eye-opening for a lot of people.
I think it was, too.
A lot of folks were talking about, bring on Bama. We want Bama. You don't want that smoke.
I'm going to tell you what. I think it was opening for that coaching staff.
I agree.
You know, going back to Matt Rule's comments, I think that he got to see that Georgia team out there on the field and realized,
it's a different league. We're in a different league.
They're way better than us, and they're still missing some guys. You know, like we're a pretty old team at this point, and we're still not even in the same league as they are. So I bet that was pretty eye opening as well. But if you want to continue to chime in on that, 254-662-1660, 254-662-1660. Up next, Patrick Walker, Talking Cowboys, it's ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bear Basketball on 92.9 FM.
The Lady Bears back in action Wednesday on the road in Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday on 92.9 FM.
Lady Bear Basketball all season long with Bruce Geetson and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on 92.9 FM.
Waco Custom Marketplace is your home for holiday favorites, for parties and time with the family, including various specials available in-store and online, including these customer favorites: choice beef tenderloin, boneless pit ham, whole smoked turkey, and prime rib roast. There's a ribeye gift box with four ribeyes and steak butter for $55. Steak and lobster box for the same price with two lobster tails and two bacon-wrapped fillets. New York strip or bacon-wrapped fillet gift box for $45 with four pieces of New York strip or bacon-wrapped fillets and steak butter. There's the fall snack gift box with summer sausage, split horn, and jalapeno cheese, and salted crackers. Add two bacon-wrapped fillets. It's $45. And the holiday bundle gift box with two ribeyes, two bacon-wrapped fillets, two New York strip steaks for just $60. Double the amount. Get $10 off. Order online or call in advance to ensure availability, or drop by Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
Start a Ram. Save thousands at Allen Samuels. A new 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Quad Cab. MSRP $35,535. Now just $24,995. A new 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Regular Cab. MSRP $31,285. Now just $23,995. And yes, there's more. Get another 1,000 off when financed by Chrysler at the Start Something New sales event at Allen Samuels.
Ask for details. All offers with approved credit.
Hey, it's 2020. It's time to start something new from Waco's most trusted dealer, Allen Samuels. Start a new Jeep Renegade. MSRP of $26,260. Now just $19,745. And yes, there's more. Take another 1,000 off when you finance through Chrysler. Start a new Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited. Discounted price, just $32,995. Let's get it started during the Start Something New sales event at Allen Samuels.
Ask for details. All offers with approved credit.
Learn strategies for building wealth and financial success in retirement. Plan well, retire well, live well. Tune in Saturdays at 8 a.m. for the Lovett Financial Show, or visit Lovett Financial for a complimentary financial review.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Stephen Simcox with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Astros owner Jim Crane fired manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Luhnow on Monday. This was shortly after Major League Baseball gave Hinch and Luhnow one-year suspensions for their role in the Astros sign-stealing scandal. For more on the fallout from these Astros moves, tune in to Unnecessary Roughness at 2:30 today when we talk to Richard Justice from MLB.com. The Baylor men's and women's basketball teams both sit at number 2 in the latest AP Top 25 poll. The Baylor women sit behind South Carolina in the poll and will be back in action on Wednesday night against Kansas. And the Baylor men sit behind Gonzaga and host Iowa State on Wednesday night. In the NBA tonight, the Mavericks are on the West Coast taking on the Warriors. Tip-off for that game is at 9:30. The Rockets host the Grizzlies tonight. Tip-off is at 7. The Spurs have the night off.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
It's time to talk America's team with Patrick Walker from CBSSports.com, presented by Miller Lite.
And back here on ESPN Central Texas, we're now joined on the phone lines by Patrick Walker of CBS Sports. And Patrick, we do appreciate the time as always. See any players you might like to see with a star on their helmets next year in that little national championship game last night?
I think the one that stands out is going to be Grant Delpit. I think that if you look at his body of work, and there are some detractors of Delpit that you know, point out some of his weaknesses, and they feel like they may be liabilities at the NFL level. I disagree. I think that he's going to have the traditional rookie learning curve once he gets to the league, but I think it's a position of need for the Cowboys. And like I told you guys last week, it'll be interesting to see if McCarthy and Nolan can kind of flip the Cowboys front office as far as their mindset at that position and the value thereof. So if they can, then I think you could possibly see them looking at putting Delpit high on their board for the 2020 draft.
That, I mean, obviously he'd be a first round draft pick. He'd be the guy at number 17. If they didn't go with the safety there, if they didn't go with Delpit, what would you be looking at? What do you think the next area of concern is for the Cowboys?
I got to look at that big body interior defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got DeMarcus Lawrence locked in, and the jury is out on if they're going to be able to afford Robert Quinn. But for now, as we're having this conversation, I'm kind of confident they have an inside track to get Robert Quinn. But the biggest concern outside of safety on that defense is going to be your three tech and your one tech. You got Antoine Woods. He's coming off of a contract year. We don't just yet know if he's going to be back. And even if he is back, what are you doing at three tech? You went and got Tristan Hill, but Tristan Hill was mostly inactive throughout his rookie season. He still has a learning curve to go through. Maybe he takes a step up in year two, but is that step up going to be as substantial as you would like it to see to be able to wave off that improving that position in the draft? I think the answer there is no. The return of Tyrone Crawford is going to help in a massive way, but Crawford is not 22 years old. He's a bit of an older veteran. He's approaching that 30-year mark, so they're going to have to address the defensive interior line, if nothing else, in the 2020 draft.
You mentioned Quinn, Patrick, and so much of the Cowboys' offseason free agency-wise will be handling their own guys who have contracts that are now expiring or issues they got to solve. But I know they haven't been big spenders in free agency lately. They've tried to make smart, calculated moves. Are there any names that you've thought of so far that might be good fits for them as far as offseason acquisitions go, personnel-wise?
Well, as far as offseason acquisitions go, I'm going to say this name because, you know, it fits and it makes you guys feel good. It's Jamal Adams for me. And granted, Jamal Adams is not a free agent, still has 1 year left on his contract with the Jets, but the Cowboys are going to have to revisit attempting to trade for him, and then they'll see if the Jets are going to try to fleece them again. But that goes to, if they can't get someone like Adams, now you're looking at someone like potentially Delpit. But there's so many big-ticket items to take care of within the organization. You talk about Dak Prescott's contract coming up. You talk about Amari Cooper. You talk about Byron Jones. You got to get those three guys locked up before you start entertaining what you're doing in free agency. Now, the Cowboys, as we know, perennially, they are not big players in the first wave of free agency. I don't see that changing, although McCarthy is coming in. I think he understands that he already has a substantial amount of talent on both sides of the ball, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. So goal number one is you got to lock up your big three. Then you start working on those satellite guys like the Antoine Woods we're talking about, and kind of go from there. And then As the second wave and the third wave rolls around, that's when the Cowboys will kind of see what's still out there and start plugging holes from there.
What do you think Byron Jones' chances of being getting the short end of the stick are as far as the free agency goes, and maybe the Cowboys don't bring him back on a big-time deal?
And the thing is, he doesn't have to get the short end of the stick. It's a situation where Byron Jones wants to remain in Dallas. The Cowboys want Byron Jones to remain in Dallas. Both sides know the money is there. Byron Jones and his agent should have a healthy understanding of where the Cowboys have some leverage, i.e. lack of takeaways. However, Byron Jones also has leverage in the fact that, like I mentioned before, he's the best cornerback they've had since Terrence Newman and arguably the best athlete they've ever had on the team outside of someone like Deion Sanders. So Byron Jones has leverage. The Cowboys have leverage. I think if you put a deal in front of him that's, you know, $12.5, $13 million a year on average, I think that gets it done. If not, then you look at, did we lock up Dak Prescott without a tag? Did we lock up Amari Cooper? Do we still have one of those tags available? Then you tag Byron Jones, and then you figure it out before mid-July. But I think there's a great chance that Byron Jones remains with the team in 2020. I'd be surprised if he does not. Not nearly as floored as I would be if Cooper or Prescott were not in uniform for the Cowboys. But I still think that Byron Jones remains right where he is.
Patrick Walker of CBS Sports joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. Patrick, it's been a few days now, but Mike McCarthy stepped away for a year. Kind of changed his life in many various ways, including his approach to football. What was maybe one or two things that you heard during his press conference, whether it's the way they're going to attack, you know, off the field or on the field, analytics? Like, what were a couple of things that stood out to you from Mike McCarthy's hiring and introductory press conference?
One of the main things that stood out is the fact that, as I had been reporting for a while, McCarthy has carte blanche to pick his coaching staff. And obviously the Cowboys, they were going to have less than a handful of favorites. Talk about someone like Kellen Moore, for example. But they weren't going to push anyone on McCarthy. He came in and he had his guys lined up. He had someone like Mike Nolan ready to go. Bones, the special teams coordinator, Tom Sula, Philbin, he's bringing in to replace Colombo. And I don't necessarily agree with letting Colombo walk. However, I do know Philbin's history and the relationship he has with McCarthy, so I don't see why that would not potentially be an upgrade. Philbin has more experience in the league at coaching the offensive line than does Colombo. So we'll see how that works out. But overall, the fact that he has free reign to build his staff, it lets you know that the Cowboys, Jerry Jones specifically, because we all know how the narrative goes, Jones is supposedly in his coach's way all the time. It was a breath of fresh air to see a coach come out and definitively say, I got this. This is my coaching staff. This is what I'm building. And, you know, we'll kind of go from there. So that was the biggest takeaway that I had. But then the analytics part of it shows me that he's willing to adapt. He took a lot of data in his year off so that he could evolve as a head coach. And I think that people need to understand that when McCarthy starts talking about analytics, he's not necessarily talking about, you know, passing 60 times a game. And I think that's where people misconstrue what analytics actually is and what it's supposed to be. It's a tool to help you succeed in the league. So for all of the, you know, gruff we gave Jason Garrett, rightfully so, for shunning analytics altogether, don't expect Mike McCarthy to, you know, pass 60, 70 times a game. That's not what's going to happen. He's still going to run the ball. He's going to establish the run. But for those that are actually listening to what he's saying, he didn't say he would establish the run so that the play action could be successful, because data proves that that's not necessarily the truth. The two don't necessarily correlate. What he did say was he wanted to establish the run with Ezekiel Elliott to do two things. One, to keep the play action effective and efficient, which analytics does prove, but he also wants to make sure that he's not putting too much on Dak Prescott, asking him to throw 50 times a game. Now, Prescott has shown that he can win games with his arm, but he's also shown that if you ask him to do that too often, then it becomes a bit of a detriment. So I think that as long as McCarthy embraces analytics but doesn't go too far over the rails, you look at a team like the Tennessee Titans, they just beat the Baltimore Ravens, one of the more analytics-driven teams in the NFL. Who did they beat before that? The New England Patriots, one of the more analytics-driven teams in the league. Yes, you could point to a team like the Kansas City Chiefs and say, hey, they throw the ball 70 times and they win. Granted, that's also their skill set. That's their personality. That's their roster build. That's not necessarily what you have. You don't have Patrick Mahomes in Dallas. That's not a knock against Dak. That's just the reality. So I like what I'm hearing from McCarthy. We'll see if he puts it all into play and how it balances out. But as it stands, I'm all in on what he has going on.
What have you seen and heard about how different this defense is going to look under Mike Nolan, Patrick?
Behind the scenes, they're still working to figure out how they want to orchestrate it. If I have to offer a hard prediction right now, I don't think they're going to switch to a 3-4. And McCarthy said something that was interesting, not necessarily in his press conference, but in his first radio interview with 105.3 FM The Fan, he mentioned that scheme is irrelevant to him. He was speaking defensively as far as bringing in Nolan, if they're going to switch from 4-3 to 3-4. And he's right. It's completely irrelevant. What he's looking to do is build around the players that he has, around the personnel that he has on defense. And if you look at the Cowboys, they don't necessarily run their 4-3 base all that often anyway. So that goes to McCarthy's point as far as scheme being irrelevant. I think if you look at the personnel, DeMarcus Lawrence, and you got to shore up that defensive tackle position, 3-tech, 1-tech, see what happens at 5-tech on the opposite side of DeMarcus Lawrence. You have two linebackers. I think LVE is going to be fine. I know people have concerns, but I've, again, spoken with no one who has that concern that he's going to have any issues in 2020. I think he bounces back, which helps Jalen Smith bounce back. You keep Byron Jones. Jordan Lewis, keep him as a starter, draft a cornerback, hopefully fix that safety position. They have the personnel for a 4-3. That's what this personnel has been designed around. I don't think McCarthy's looking to come in and shake things up or shake the ground beneath the defense. This is a hire that Jerry Jones brought in because he wants success now. If you go and you switch the scheme from 4-3 to 3-4, guess what you have to do then? You have to then bring in guys are designed for the 3-4, and that takes a couple of years or so to solidify before you start seeing success. So I don't think that he's going to come in and do a complete shakeup. I think he's going to more so keep it at 4-3, but it might not necessarily be 4-3. It might be 4-2-1. It might be some variation of that, but we'll see how it goes.
Tomorrow we'll find out all the members of the Hall of Fame for the Centennial Class, but we do know Jimmy Johnson as a coach is going to get in. Darren Woodson, he's up. What are your thoughts on Woodson, and what did you think when you heard Jimmy Johnson was going in?
Oh, this is so duplicitous for me, fellas. As I watched them surprise Jimmy with the announcement and kind of taking a step back when they gave it to Cowher and they surprised Cowher on the CBS broadcast, first thing popped in my head was congratulations to Cowher. He deserves it. Second thing popped in my head was, where's Jimmy? So when they doubled back on the Fox broadcast and surprised Jimmy, I was absolutely just elated. I almost had the same tears in my eyes that he did, that Troy Aikman did, that I'm sure Michael Irvin did, that basically all of Cowboys Nation had feeling that, because Jimmy Johnson is a generational coach. So for those that were born in, 1980, such as myself, or later, you can appreciate the greatness of Tom Landry as a historian of the Cowboys and what he did for the organization. But those late 80s were lean years under the Landry era. Our Super Bowls came and our success came from Jimmy Johnson if you were born in that particular era. So Jimmy is my coach. And for those that are my age or, plus or minus 5 years, that's your coach. So you feel elated, but at the same time, you also can't figure out for the life of you why Troy Aikman is in. Well, you get that, right? You understand why Michael Irvin is in, Emmitt Smith is in, and a list of other Cowboys from that era. Where's Darren Woodson? Where's Darren Woodson? His name continually comes up every year as a candidate, but he can't seem to get the election. He can't seem to get the votes to get elected to the Hall of Fame. I think it's egregious. I think it's comical in the worst way possible. Not ha-ha, but like, what are you doing? And I think that Darren Woodson is a generational talent, was a generational talent. He redefined the position. He moved from linebacker to safety and still dominated. You got to get Darren Woodson in the Hall of Fame sooner than later. It's flat out disconcerting to see that he's not in. But I don't want to harp too much on that because I don't want to take away from the beauty of Jimmy finally getting in, because he was being snubbed as well alongside Darren. So now that Jimmy is in, hopefully it kind of pushes the door a little bit further open for Darren to get in, because as far as safeties go, that's my goal.
You can find him at Voice of the Star on Twitter, also over on CBSSports.com as well. Patrick Walker here with us Tuesdays at 12:30. Patrick, is always a pleasure, man. We appreciate it and hope you have a great week.
Fun times, guys. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. There is Patrick Walker once again here with us on ESPN Central Texas. We'll take a break and come back. A couple of minor Baylor football staff notes, and I do mean very minor, that we'll get to. Nothing earth-shattering and no new head coach hired, so don't get your hopes up. Very minor notes, and we will move on into hour number two. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on You Make the Call.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to say, first of all, y'all, thank y'all for all the coverage y'all did there in New Orleans and everything else. It's a great job. I don't see how you could have done it any better. I'm always know everybody always kind of looks back and see maybe we could have done this or this, but I can't think of a thing, but I appreciate y'all doing that for everybody back here in Central Texas. But the main thing is my legacy deal for this team, heck, y'all, I mean, they're 2 years ahead of anything that I would have expected. I mean, I was hoping they'd be at this point where they're at right now, 2 years down the road. I mean, I thought maybe 7 wins, 8 wins would be really good. Anything above that was gravy on the steak. You know, so I mean, you know, their legacy is they're way ahead of where they're at, and they're in a good place to, you know, maybe take another step. You know, even if they stay status quo, exactly what they did this year, that's still going to be a heck of a season, y'all.
You make the call on ESPN Central Texas.
It's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Visit us online at turnerchevy.com. For the best deal on your new Chevrolet, stop by and see the all-new 2019 Silverado 1500 today.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Hi, my name is Amanda Cunningham. I am a local realtor that has a passion for people. I've helped clients buy and sell over 80 homes in 2019 and would love to help you buy or sell that perfect home. You deserve to get top dollar for your home. Listing with an experienced agent that specializes in not only promoting your home, but helping you get your home buyer ready is key. I have a team of people around me that make what I do each day possible. If you're searching for that perfect home, your experience should be pleasant and stress-free. Call me today. I want to meet you. 254-495-0338. Google Amanda Cunningham Realtor with Coldwell Banker Apex to find my website, Facebook, and more.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Stephen Simcox with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Astros owner Jim Crane fired manager A.J. Hinch and general manager Jeff Lunau on Monday. This was shortly after Major League Baseball gave Hinch and Lunau one-year suspensions for their role in the Astros sign-stealing scandal. For more on the fallout from these Astros moves, tune into Unnecessary Roughness at 2:30 today, and we talk to Richard Justice from MLB.com. The Baylor men's and women's basketball teams both sit at number 2 in the latest AP Top 25 poll. The Baylor women sit behind South Carolina in the poll and will be back in action on Wednesday night against Kansas. And the Baylor men sit behind Gonzaga and host Iowa State on Wednesday night. In the NBA tonight, the Mavericks are on the West Coast taking on the Warriors. Tip-off for that game is at 9:30. The Rockets host the Grizzlies tonight. Tip-off is at 7. The Spurs have the night off.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and about to close out this first hour as we will get into the 1 o'clock and some NFL news and notes with Q's Cover 3. First things first, though, a couple of minor Baylor football notes. David Newton, who covers the Carolina Panthers for ESPN, put out that Sean Patton, who was the director of football operations at Baylor and also the guy who raced the robot. You may remember that from year number one.
Got drilled by the robot.
Got drilled by the robot. Ended up on, what, Jimmy Fallon as a result of that. So he got his 15 minutes. He, along with Matthew Delgado, who is also the director of football technology for Baylor, so he deals with football technology at that job. They are apparently, or have apparently, according to David Newton of ESPN, notified Baylor that they are no longer going to be with the school or the program. So Sean Patton was somebody I immediately thought was going to be following Matt Rhule wherever he goes for the rest of life. So that's not a surprise. Don't know much at all about Matthew Delgado, but being on the football technology side of things, know that's very important to Matt Rhule. And so no surprise that he could also be heading to Carolina. So they haven't officially joined the Carolina staff, but that's kind of where you'd be led to believe they would probably go. Patton, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
He put a tweet out the other day thanking everybody, those Baylor fans. And said thank you to Baylor. He appreciated the time, and it had the video of him getting hit by that that robot. Yeah, okay. That tackling dummy.
Cool. I did not see that. So, yeah, they've officially done that. And so those are two more. And like I said, minor notes because, you know, they weren't position coaches or assistants in that same manner, but were important in their roles for what they did. So thanks to those guys, and best of luck in Carolina or wherever the road takes you. Let's go to Billy and Lorena real quick. You're on ESPN Central Texas. What's going on?
Hey, guys, I would just want to comment a little bit on the basketball, the college basketball, the playoffs, how it's all set up. And I think everybody from Butler to Baylor to Boston College to all the way down to Gonzaga, they've all got an opportunity. Everybody has. It takes five really decent kids to play, I mean, good kids that can play basketball, and then a couple on the bench. It doesn't take, 17, 18, 19 on either side of the ball to field a really good team to compete for the elite level. I think basketball is a little bit different. And these kids, like, you can drive down the street when they're 8 years old, 10 years old, they're out there playing basketball, and they're getting better and better. Sure, you got to have a kid that's 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", to be in the middle. You got to have some really good shooters from the outside. But they're out there playing every day. And these kids get better every day. Football, it's different. I don't care what they say. It's different. You got to have so many really good athletes, big, strong kids. I think all the SEC conference is always going to be. I'm saying always. It's better right now. It's just a lot better. 30 years ago, you could say USC, UCLA. I mean, they were the teams to beat. Oregon never. You know, wasn't in there 25, 30 years ago. I just don't see it how a Baylor is ever going to be able to do it. A TCU, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, we're just not going to be there. Not unless there's something that changes, and I don't see how it can change. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Billy, for the phone call.
Good stuff. I get the gist of his call is basically that the Big 12 outside of probably Texas and Oklahoma, and even that's a stretch, is probably not going to be able to compete with the SEC as it is right now.
Yeah, yeah. And
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that either. In basketball, you're right. You need a couple impact guys, like really good players, or just one really, really good player. Good coaching, I think, stands out a bit more as well. I mean, it still matters in the college game as well. The best coaches still win more often than not. But do appreciate your feedback, Billy, on that. And that's where you're coming from. Love to hear from other people on the college football playoff. Has it made it better or worse in your mind? Do you have a different idea for it? But mostly, has it made it better or worse? And you know, in comparison to the NFL product, are you still all college football, or are you maybe somebody that's appreciating or liking the NFL a bit more these days because of their setup? 254-662-1660. Got to get into hour number two now. This ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back home in the Farrell Center Wednesday hosting Iowa State. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday for the Bears and the Cyclones Big 12 basketball.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Qualifications and rules apply. See GenCoFCU for details.
asked for Kasasa.
Warning, free GenCo Kasasa checking may lead to a rise in disposable income due to cash back on everyday debit card purchases, refunds on ATM fees, and eliminations of so-called service fees. Increased satisfaction may result while operating your GenCo debit card. If you suffer from chronic money loss, search for help at any GenCo branch office. This has been a financial health advisory, courtesy of GenCo FCU. It's like money medicine for your shopping habit.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
Waco Custom Marketplace is your home for holiday favorites for parties and time with the family, including various specials available in-store and online, including these customer favorites: choice beef tenderloin, boneless pit ham, whole smoked turkey, and prime rib roast. There's a ribeye gift box with four ribeyes and steak butter for $55. Steak and lobster box for the same price with two lobster tails and two bacon wrap fillets. New York strip or bacon wrap fillet gift box for $45 with four pieces of New York strip or bacon wrap fillets and steak butter. There's the fall snack gift box with summer sausage, split horn, and jalapeno cheese, and salted crackers. Add two bacon wrap fillets. It's $45. And the holiday bundle gift box with two ribeyes, two bacon wrap fillets, two New York strip steaks for just $60. Double the amount, get $10 off. Order online or call in advance to ensure availability, or drop by Waco Custom Marketplace, 425 Lake Air Drive in Waco.
Start a Ram. Save thousands at Allen Samuels. A new 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Quad Cab. MSRP $35,535. Now just $24,995. A new 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Regular Cab. MSRP $31,285. Now just $23,995. And yes, there's more. Get another $1,000 off when financed by Chrysler at the Start Something New sales event at Allen Samuels.
Ask for details. All offers with approved credit.
Hey, it's 2020. It's time to start something new from Waco's most trusted dealer, Allen Samuels. Start a new Jeep Renegade. MSRP of $26,260. Now just $19,745. And yes, there's more. Take another $1,000 off when you finance through Chrysler. Start a new Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited. Discounted price, just $32,995. Let's get it started during the Start Something New sales event at Allen Samuels.
Ask for details. All offers with approved credit.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas.
3, 2, and showtime.
Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco. The 1 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Chapman's Bail Bonds.
Let's get it.
This is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Welcome into the 1 o'clock hour of UNR here on ESPN Central Texas. It's time to get in some NFL news and notes, and I'm sure there are plenty with all that's going on in the National Football League with Q's Cover 3.
And off to start the day, Jones. What a beginning on the ground for Aaron Jones. He gets 23.
18.
Jones. He touchdown.
18.
Jones, touchdown Packers.
It's time for Cover 3 with your boy Q. Brought to you by Centex Irrigation, Walk-On's Bistro and Bar, Colby Carpenter of Keller Williams Realty, and Bella Therapies.
Right there, you just heard a couple runs, including a couple touchdowns by Packers running back Aaron Jones in the Packers 28-23 win over the Seahawks over the weekend. And, you know, I could have brought up Aaron Rodgers. I could have brought up Devontae Adams or the Smith brothers defensively for the Packers. But For me, man, Aaron Jones, he's been so fun to watch all season long. Obviously, we have somewhat of a connection with him since we talked to him in 2017 when he was about to go to the draft along with Patrick Mahomes, Lee Steinberg clients, and we got to talk to them at the Super Bowl and kind of get to pick his brain a little bit. It's kind of been fun to see him in the NFL, but particularly this year, man. But this game in particular, he had 62 yards rushing, those two touchdowns that you heard. But for the season, 1,084 yards rushing and 16 touchdowns. 16! He was a touchdown magnet, also had another 479 yards receiving and three more touchdowns. And this is the first season that he played all 16 games. Previous years, he was either injured or suspended. But when this guy is healthy and available, man, this guy can absolutely go. And if you remember correctly, he was a fifth-round pick in 2017. Again, Lee Steinberg's client met him and interviewed him at the Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes when they were doing that little walk-around with all his players. And that was I thought that was a great move by Lee that year. And I'm seeing some of the clients that he's going to have this year, and I'm thinking that's another great move that he'll probably do again this year, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, Aaron Jones has been a great story and not a guy that came in with a lot of, you know, hype behind him. Nobody watches UTEP football.
Nope.
Except for their alums, and even most of those alums
they're
probably
watching basketball.
Don't. Yeah, there's just not a lot of care for it, and he is somebody who's come out of that program. Who was the Giants offensive lineman? Will Hernandez?
Yeah, Will Hernandez.
You know, they've had actually a couple pretty good players come out of that program here as of late, or at least been drafted highly or highly thought of. In Aaron Jones' case, not necessarily highly thought of, except for people like me who mm-hmm. knew what he was doing at UTEP because I pay attention to the stats every week. But I was also seeing that his team was losing pretty much every week despite what he was doing. But he was clearly good and couldn't have predicted this for him. But he's had an incredible little run here with the Packers, and for a franchise that's been starved for running backs for as many years as they have been, he's actually been probably their best running back in a long
time. In a really long time,
as far as the featured rusher. So, he's had a great run in Lee Steinberg. You know, he battled some demons, battled, setbacks, and has, over the last 3 years, pretty much been able to reestablish a nice foundation for himself. And I'll tell you what, Lee
he's made a major comeback. That's what he's done.
Well, you know, part of his plan was he was in attendance at the Earl Campbell Tyler Rose Award ceremony the last couple years, how he got to, you know, be around some of the featured Texas players and who he had signed, you know, like Patrick. But, he started looking at the state of Texas and some of the, like, second-level guys mm-hmm. that weren't necessarily coming out of LSU with a lot of hype, or, you know, your Earl Thomases and those types. He's like, all right, I'll go get the Patrick Mahomes and the Aaron Jones, and then we'll build it up. And now I am seeing some of the clients he signed. He signed Tua, right?
He's got Tua. He's got Jerry Jeudy. I mean, he's got some big-time bangers, man, some first-rounder guys.
Yeah, so he's back in a big way, and that's a good little combination. I think Lee's comeback and the players like Patrick and Aaron who have been part of that have made for a really nice partnership.
No, it really has, and it's been good to see. And again, I just like seeing Aaron Jones be out there and be successful for the Packers. And look, the Packers are going to be playing for an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, and they've gotten it done differently this year than they ever have in the history of the Packers. You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is always going to be Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be a guy that's going to be needed to make the big pass like he did the third down completion that he had against the Seahawks the other night. That was big, but it's not only Aaron Jones or Aaron Rodgers. It's been Aaron Jones. It's been other guys that have been able to step up. Defense has made plays. I mean, they're actually winning as a team instead of just winning on the arm of number 12.
Yeah, they are. And I was surprised by, you know, just this run that they've been on, quite frankly, because it just feels like it versus what we hear about the Ravens or what we hear about even the Patriots, even though they were having a down year, or some of these other teams. Just like the Packers are there, but they're not really mm-hmm. being talked about in the same way as some of the others are. And maybe they will now be. They now will be because we're down to the final four here, and they need to be talked about amongst the best teams. But, yeah, that was a close call against Seattle last week, but they just found a way. And they are a good team that should make for an interesting matchup with San Francisco this weekend.
It's going to be
pretty much been dominating everybody.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a real tough match for Green Bay. They lost earlier in the season against San Francisco, so they got to figure out a way to erase that ugly game that they had and come back and pick up the W. But you got to give Matt LaFleur a lot of credit as well. I talk about him quite a bit. He's a first-year head coach that really isn't getting the proper talk that he should be. I mean, he's a first-year head coach going in there coaching up Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And basically saying, hey, look, we're not going to do it your way. We're going to do it my way, and we're going to be successful, and they're winning.
Yeah, so a couple of young coaches, a part of this Final Four, when you look at, what's Tennessee's, Vrabel?
Yeah, Mike Vrabel.
Mike Vrabel early to the game as well. So, yeah, I guess some young coaches that are proving their worth, and that's good to see. when we are so accustomed to seeing the Belichicks and the Harbaughs in there every year. Kind of got some new faces, and that's a good thing for a league that needs new faces from time to time in the head coaching ranks.
A 16-year vet just announced his retirement, like just now. Antonio Gates from the Chargers, former tight end for the Chargers, he announced that he is retiring officially from the NFL after 16 seasons. So you just go ahead and put the stop clock on, give him 5 years from now, and he'll be walking across that stage in Canton, Ohio. Antonio Gates, an absolute stud when it comes to being a football, being a tight end, being a player. I mean, he's the real deal dude. So, yeah, that's going to be a guy that's going to be wearing a gold jacket pretty soon. But after 16 years, retires from the NFL.
Well, I guess Rico Gathers is going to have to pick up the torch of the basketball turned football players now. And no,
wow.
No, we're not going to do
too soon.
Not going to do that. Well, that's what the thought was, that maybe Rico could be an Antonio Gates type. But Antonio Gates, for being a basketball player in college, certainly turned that football career into a little something. I mean, playing until near age 40 is pretty incredible and not easy to do. So yeah, he's one of the best to ever do it, no doubt. Definitely a Hall of Famer. And what a career that guy had. Just never could quite get over that hump as far as, you know, championships and things like that. But that's the tale of anybody who plays with the Chargers for a very long time,
it's
quite
true.
Frankly.
I mean, look how long Phillip Rivers has been there.
Yeah.
He might not even come back next year. I mean, who knows?
Empty trophy case.
He is going to be a free agent. He's one of those big-name quarterbacks as a free agent, along with Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, all those guys. They're all going to be free agents this year. And it's just weird to hear a guy like Phillip Rivers or even a Drew Brees or Tom Brady are available as free agents going into a year, but they will be.
They will be. I think most of those guys stay pat. That's just typically kind of how it works, right? Because the team that you are signed to or have been signed to, it has the advantage more often than not, unless you're just so adamant about getting out of town or they're adamant about moving into another direction. So, yeah, it's a lot of interesting names. I'm not sure we'll see so much movement, but maybe we do. And that'll be interesting, although these are not in their prime examples of a lot of the guys we're talking about.
No, they're at the end of the rope.
Why they're available. But I was looking at the Chargers, and I was just trying to see their division titles to see things that Antonio Gates actually would have won as a member of the San Diego Chargers / LA Chargers. And I guess their last division title was in 2000 and... Ooh, it's been a while. Nine.
Yeah, it's been a while, yeah.
Nine.
They believe they had LT then, right?
Yeah, I would think they would have, yeah. Mm-hmm. The 2009 Chargers team went 13-3, and LT was with the Jets the next year, so that was his last year in San Diego. But yeah, Antonio Gates, first ballot Hall of Famer, all-timer as a tight end, but like very little to show for it from team standpoint. But hey, he was loyal to San Diego / LA, and had a great career.
236 games, 955 receptions, which is 17th all-time, 11,841 receiving yards, that's 29th all-time, 116 touchdowns, 7th all-time, 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, all with the Chargers. And yeah, like you said, nothing else to show for it except for a bunch of personal stats.
Rivers and Tomlinson and even Brees for a sprinkle and Antonio Gates and various others through the years. That's a franchise that just can't quite get over that hump. No matter what they do.
No, it's really, really strange. It's almost like a Bermuda Triangle's put around them. Like, yeah, you're going to be successful, but only so far.
Spit out some great individual players,
right.
But teams, not so much.
Not so much. The Bears have hired an offensive coordinator. All the head coaching jobs are already filled, but the Bears have hired an offensive coordinator.
Joe Brady.
No, former Cincinnati Bengals offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. He's going to be their next OC. He's going to replace Mark Helfrich, who was fired along with a bunch of other offensive assistants 2 days ago. The Bears went 8-8 in 2019. That was obviously not what they wanted to do. But here he is, Bill Lazor. He's going to be there. He's helped out some other quarterbacks along the way. So obviously his big goal is going to be to get Mitchell Trubisky right. But that's Matt Nagy's job too, to get Mitchell Trubisky right. And that's really the question. Is Mitchell Trubisky going to be the guy moving forward for the Bears? So no matter who you are, if you're the OC, if you're the head coach, if you're the quarterback coach, no matter who you are, that's your number one goal in Chicago, is to figure out exactly who Mitchell Trubisky is. Can he be that dude moving forward?
Well, nothing like a guy that's going to work with quarterbacks being named Lazor. So you got that going for you. And I'm sure that played into his hiring. No, Mitchell Trubisky, the jury's out, I think, for most on him. And
right.
I'm not sure what to really make of him. I'm not sure if he's going to be any good or not. I do know I've seen some good. I've seen a lot of bad as well. And they're going to have to win with more than just defense in Chicago. I think they realize that, obviously, why their changes are being made. What a terrible last 3 years for Mark Helfrich.
Yes.
Just getting fired from everywhere. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, What do you think about Mitchell Trubisky overall?
I'm not sold on him at all. I think he has the legs to be able to keep plays alive, but I just don't know right now if he has the confidence to be able to get it done with his arm consistently. I mean, he might have a game here, a game there, but I don't know if he's the dude moving forward. Like, he's going to be able to get it done on a consistent basis, and I think that the Bears still kind of look at themselves in the mirror and think, what the hell did we do when we traded up one spot to go get him?
Yeah, and who did we miss out on, and who could we have
And then you look at Deshaun Watson, who just played against Kansas City, had a hell of a run. You look at Patrick Mahomes, who's going to be playing this weekend. Those are guys you could have had.
Yeah.
Instead, you went and got Mitchell Trubisky. You outthought it. You thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to be smarter than the other teams. I'm going to go get this dude.
Yeah, and it's not paid off for them as they sit back and watch those guys play in the playoffs.
Right.
And with the team that Chicago's had over the last few years, I mean, having either one of those guys at quarterback, they probably are going a bit deeper than any of the
imagine if
they
had
on.
If they had a Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and they had the defense they had last year.
Yeah, would have been pretty special.
I don't think they would have had to worry about a double doink off the goalpost.
No.
Man, I think they'd have been going deep into the playoffs. But again, I mean, that's just, I mean, it's, I guess hindsight is 20/20. But yeah, I'm sure that they could have done a little bit better than Mitchell Trubisky. One note on Lazor, he was fired as the Bengals offensive coordinator a couple seasons ago. And let's just put it like this. His offense was never better than 26th in yards and 17th in points.
Oh, well, it makes all the sense in the world why he was hired then.
So now he's going to go and have to be in charge of the offense in Chicago with a quarterback that you still question.
With an offense that hasn't been good in several years.
Yep.
And he's basically been non-existent for several of those seasons. So, yeah, I'm sure they're... You know, celebrating wildly in the streets of Chicago right now with
backflips.
This offensive coordinator who hasn't had a top 20 offense in, you know, the last several years.
Yep.
Fun stuff for Chicago. All right, Q, that all? Appreciate
yep.
it. That's NFL news and notes with Cover 3. We will take a break right here. Got a little bit of time before we'll get to Colt Barber. So if you want to hop on the phone lines, the Bush Chicken text line, 254-662-1660. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Nobody has a better selection of light and heavy-duty Ram pickup trucks than Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike LaPointe. Cloudy with areas of fog, drizzle, and mist, at least through the morning hours. And a lot of clouds still hanging tough as we hit the afternoon. Still very mild with highs topping out at 73 degrees. It'll be mostly cloudy tonight. We fall to 63. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon and a high of 76. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:30 and 9 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
Hey, it's 2020. It's time to start something new from Waco's most trusted dealer, Alan Samuels. Start a new Jeep Renegade, MSRP of $26,260, now just $19,745. And yes, there's more. Take another $1,000 off when you finance through Chrysler. Start a new Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited, discounted price just $32,995. Let's get it started during the Start Something New sales event at Alan Samuels.
Ask for details. All offers with approved credit.
Hey, it's 2020. It's time to start something new from Waco's most trusted dealer, Alan Samuels. 2020 means it's time for a fun new Fiat. And with a price under $13,000, this Fiat is perfect for you. You've got to drive this new 2019 Fiat 500 Pop Hatchback for an amazing $12,995. So come on, let's do Italian. The Start Something New sales event at Alan Samuels. Come by. Let's be friends.
Ask for details.
Don't miss the Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center. You'll find great items at terrific prices on new and used guns, knives, swords, hunting gear, books, coins, medals, and ammo. Best of all, you'll enjoy browsing with the benefit of paying discount prices. Hours are 9 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 4 Sunday. Bring in your old gun and trade up for the gun you've always wanted. Lone Star Gun Show Saturday and Sunday at the Bell County Expo Center in Belton.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Miller with Syntex Rehab in Belton and in Harker Heights. I want you to think about that one thing that pain is keeping you from doing. It could be in your back, your neck, or your knees. But what is it keeping you from doing? Is it getting up and down from the floor with your kids? Is it playing your favorite sport or even working out? It could be something as simple as driving your car comfortably or getting a good night's sleep. I know from personal experience that pain can keep you from doing a lot of the things that you love to do. So I'd like to make an offer to you. Simply visit my website at syntexrehab.com and there for you, for free, are packets of information on how to relieve back pain, neck and shoulder pain, and knee pain. That's syntexrehab.com, or you can call our clinic at 254-630-1186, and we'd be happy to mail it to you. Again, go to syntexrehab.com and download the free packets. Feel free to chat with our patient care specialist directly online. You can get back to a life with less pain.
Don Humidor has among the best top-rated cigars, not in the country, but the world, inside their 48-foot walk-in humidor. Rocky Patel, Padron, Ashton, Monte Cristo, Romeo and Julieta, Artur Fuente. If you want a cigar, no matter if it's harsh or something light, Churchill length or smaller, Don Humidor is where you go. And ask for Carol and Ashley, two ladies that will greet you with a smile and great intelligence and knowledge in the cigar business. Don Humidor in the Townwood Shopping Center of Valley Mills in Waco.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600. UBO Business Services.
Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com will join us in the next segment, his weekly visit, and maybe he'll spring who the new Baylor head football coach is on us, give us a big surprise.
Breaking news.
Probably yeah, not. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to know who that person's going to be.
Did you see the news on Deontay Williams from Baylor, the former Baylor guy?
Yeah, former Baylor linebacker Deontay Williams. He was a kind of a rush-in type of player for them. You may remember 2 years ago in Austin, in that game where Baylor fell at the end, you know, chunking it into the end zone, trying to score at the end of the game to win that bad boy, and just couldn't find a match. Charlie Brewer couldn't find a match in the end zone. But in that game, Deontay Williams got hurt, broke his arm pretty severely, and in at least a couple of places, from what I recall, and basically medically retired. For last season, and I remember Matt Rhule saying that Deontay was still going to be around the team, and in fact, at one point, I put out a tweet that went, you know, I don't even want to say viral, because virals, I would use that for a much bigger term, like thousands and thousands of reach. This is, you know, very minor on the viral scale, but I put out a tweet towards the end of last season about the number of players that were still on this roster from like 3 years ago. And there was like eight guys, I think, and Deontay Williams was one of those guys. So I had an asterisk next to his name because I reached out to Baylor and asked about Deontay Williams because I remember Matt Rhule saying, hey, he's not going to play anymore, but he's going to be around the team. So I was like, all right, before I put this out, I want to make sure he's still around the team. I don't give him improper credit. And I was told that he was still hanging out, you know, being as involved as he possibly could be. But the reason Q brings him up is because he is apparently notified Baylor that he's going to transfer and I guess resume his football career. And you would think, well, why not just play at Baylor? But apparently it has something to do with him being on medical redshirt last season, where I don't think it works that way. I don't think he can be medically retired and then come back to the same school. There's something, you know how all these transfer rules are. Like there's complications that arise depending on your background and your reason for transferring, but somehow or another it worked out to where he is going to play football again and he's going to transfer. And so we'll see where he goes. It'll be interesting because he's been away from the game for so long now with a couple years having passed before his last game. That's interesting. And I don't really count it as a loss, Q, just because, you know, he already kind of was not playing for
right,
them.
No doubt.
But that is certainly a note, kind of like the one with Sean Padden earlier on this Baylor football team. So, yeah, Deontay Williams, best of luck to him. And I really thought he was going to be a really good player until that injury.
Well, I got a Rod Marinelli update.
Okay.
That I really didn't want to give.
The next head coach at Baylor?
No, this is just really strange. Raiders coach John Gruden has fired defensive line coach Brinston Buckner and is expected to replace him with Rod Marinelli.
Sweet. Get excited. Rod Marinelli to the Raiders.
Brinston Buckner was a dude.
Was he?
He was an absolute dude.
I remember him as a player.
He was a dog. I don't understand that at all. That's just, I mean, I know Rod Marinelli worked with him in Tampa Bay, but that's just, I don't know.
Do you need to cut an emergency podcast? Do we need to take a break?
No, I'm just tripping. And then to see Rod Marinelli's name, I mean, I knew that he wasn't going back to Dallas, but that's just kind of strange. So I guess it ties into both worlds, but geez, that's strange.
Yeah, that is kind of an odd little pairing there.
Oh, wow. I had to really verify that I was actually reading that correctly.
Well, congrats to Rod Marinelli on his new gig in Las Vegas.
Great.
With John Gruden. So
Brinson, I'm not a fan. Let's put it like this. Not a fan of that move.
Well, I think it's very clear by your silence that you're not a fan of that move. So, yeah.
He's been a coach for a long time, Q. A lot of experience.
Veteran leadership.
Yay.
Former head coach.
Getting the gang back together.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
I know that's what they're doing.
Run the Tampa 2.
Yeah, why don't you just go and get Monty Kiffin back?
Where's Dungy? Bring him in the fold.
Dungy's somewhere sitting in an overrated chair.
Man, there's gonna be that's gonna be the hot sports opinion that eventually gets us booted off the airwaves.
Oh yeah. Someone's gonna be so angry because I said something about
Tony
Dungy.
He's a good Christian man.
He is a great man.
Yeah,
he's a great man. He's a great leader. I get it, but as an NFL head coach, he was just okay. He wasn't great. I don't care. I'll say it.
He won a Super Bowl. That's okay. Cool. So did Barry Switzer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think that sometimes we confuse the person with the performer or the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Tony Dungy gets way more love, and this is not a knock on him. If anything, it's a knock on the people's opinion of him, which
he's
I'm not
good,
even knocking that.
He's a good dude.
Yes, very good man, very good Christian man, very smart, great leader, all those things. I just think as an NFL head coach, he's a tad bit overrated.
I agree.
Yeah. So
I absolutely agree.
It's a good final show for us. It's been a good run. Been
shout out to Clay.
Time.
Shout out to Naomi.
No doubt.
You know what? I haven't shouted out Naomi. I think she's still locked up, and I haven't shouted her out.
I think I pretty much am positive that she is.
Well, shout out to Naomi because it's a new year, man, so you got to shout her out for 2020.
Yes. Well, that's a nice nod by you. And
see you later.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how to close out the Dungy talk. But
write us again, Naomi. Give us your thoughts on Tony Dungy.
What's your thoughts
just
on Tony Dungy?
General.
No, Tony Dungy, great dude.
Great
just
dude.
A little bit inflated.
Just a little overrated, that's all.
Yep. All right, coming up next, Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com. Can he tell us anything about this Baylor head coaching search as they look to replace Matt Rhule? Also, some staff departures and some basketball to talk about with him as well as ESPN Central Texas.
Baylor Lady Bear Basketball on 92.9 FM.
The Lady Bears back in action Wednesday on the road in Lawrence to take on the Kansas Jayhawks. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday on 92.9 FM.
Lady Bear Basketball, all season long with Bruce Geetson and Maggie Davis-Stinnett on 92.9 FM.
We're fighting hard at Pickup Outfitters in our battle to end truck nudity. But it's not just about putting an outfit on a naked truck. It's about making sure you have the very best customer service. So we offer the Pickup Outfitters Lifetime Installation Guarantee. Over time, sometimes your outfit needs a little tune-up, maybe some tightening, adjusting, whatever. If you outfitted your truck at Pickup Outfitters, that tune-up is absolutely no charge for the remainder of the time you own that truck. We also offer free warranty assistance. If for any reason you need to use your warranty, you just bring it back to us and we take care of it. It just makes sense. I mean, operating without a promise like that would be like offering customer service in the nude. And if you've seen our staff, trust me, you don't want that. So do your part to end truck nudity by outfitting your truck, Jeep, SUV, or van at Pickup Outfitters. 220 Lake Air Drive in Waco, where we promise to serve you fully clothed. Check out our website, createacommotion.com.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realize it. It's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy 5 times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
Sikora Family Ford is truly a family dealership. We work here every day, so you can always talk to family. And we're proud to serve the needs of Central Texas families like yours.
Come see us for your next vehicle. We'll make it easy for you to get the new Ford you want. Choose from over 150 cars, trucks, and SUVs here on our lot. And if we don't have exactly what you're looking for, let us know. We'll get it for you.
Sikora is not just a name on a building. It's who we are.
That's why we say, at Sikora Family Ford, our family makes the difference.
ESPN. On a scale of 1 to I've broken more axles than I can count, how serious of an off-roader are you? Well, if you're still counting, you might want to listen up. Introducing the highly anticipated BF Goodrich Mud Terrain TA KM3 tire. With its extreme toughness and traction, this beast will get you anywhere you need to go. BF Goodrich Tires, what are you building for? City Tire and Battery will help you get back on the road quickly in your time of need. 1502 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. After spending the last 9 years as Cowboys Director of Strength and Conditioning in his second tour with the franchise, Mike Woychick will not return on Mike McCarthy's staff. Woychick has won 6 Super Bowl rings, 3 with the Cowboys in the 90s, and 3 with the Patriots. Houston senior quarterback De'Aaron King said Monday night he has entered the NCAA transfer portal. Initially, when deciding to redshirt this year, King indicated he would be back for one more year at Houston in 2020. Coach Dana Holgorsen thought so as well, but King has reversed course. In the NBA tonight, the Rockets hit the road to take on the Grizzlies. The Mavericks and Luka Doncic on the road as well, taking on the last place Warriors.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. It's time for our weekly segment with Colt Barber of Sikkim365.com.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and he didn't want to join us on air, but thanks to Randy for his call off the air. We knew we'd trigger somebody with Tony Dungy talk, so there's one.
But it's funny because he said that, well, John Gruden only won with Tony Dungy's guys. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't think we said anything about John Gruden.
I didn't say John Gruden was any better than Tony Dungy. I just said Tony Dungy was a little overrated.
Well, we knew that was going to come at some point from somebody, so thank you, Randy, for the call off the air. Colt Barber, Sikkim365.com, joins us now on the phone lines. How about Tony Dungy for next Baylor head coach, Colt? How about that? Any chance?
What's funny about that is we actually had a discussion just amongst the three of us owners, and the name was brought up. It's like, man, we could get or Baylor could bring in Tony Dungy and let him mentor Joey McGuire for a few more years. So it's funny y'all are talking about him today. That was all in jest, of course, but interesting that y'all are talking about him as well.
Well, where are we on this Baylor coaching search? I don't know about on your end, but it's been pretty much as quiet as any coaching search can be. I mean, quite frankly, maybe you're hearing different, but what are your thoughts and what have you heard in regards to Baylor and this coaching search of theirs?
No, you're exactly right. That it's been extremely quiet, and it's pretty remarkable. I talked to a family friend of a potential candidate, and obviously I'm not going to reveal any names, and I posted this on our website, but they have dealt with, through their connections to a potential candidate, they've dealt with multiple coaching searches over the last 4 or 5 years, and they said it is absolutely remarkable to them to see the difference in the way this has been handled versus what they've gone through. And that was, this is a potential assistant coach, or is an assistant coach at a major program, in the southeastern part of the United States. And they're just in kind of in shock of, man, what exactly is coming out of this? And the truth be told, and I tweeted this earlier, if someone claims that they know something, it is either fabricated or it's coming from the side of a potential candidate. Maybe someone's trying to get a raise, something like that's going on. And nothing's coming out of this. And you can piece things together as far as, well, this is a potential interview date, which we've tried to do our part on through Sikkim365. But, man, there's just not a lot of information leaking out. And that's you look back to 2016 when Matt Rhule was hired. That's exactly how it happened. I thought that Mac Rhodes would attempt to take that approach this time around. But because more people were familiar with more people within an administration, there's more connections made through the media to particular with Baylor. I thought there'd be a little bit more leaks, but man, there's not. And I continue to be impressed with exactly what they're doing. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that are just as surprised about the hire as the most casual fan out there.
As far as the players go, everyone's been, you know, beating the table for Joey McGuire. I know a lot of fans in general want Joey McGuire. I've been on record of saying I'd like to see Joey McGuire get the nod. But as far as just your gut feeling, Colt, what do you think his chances are of getting that opportunity?
Man, it's so hard to tell. Joey McGuire, regardless of how long he's been at the college level, he has an abundance of connections to college coaches, to head coaches, to assistant coaches. He's developed more of those since being at Baylor. But just from his 15 years at Cedar Hill, knowing guys that are coming in and out of there, guys that he might have coached in his first couple of years as a head coach at Cedar Hill that have now moved on, now they're assistants in different spots. He has an abundance of connections, and that's what his potential hiring will hinge on, in my opinion. It's who does he bring as an offensive coordinator? Of the assistants that do stay, how does he fill in, for the defensive line coach? I'm just using that as an example. But who does he hire in those 10 assistant coaching positions to fill out his staff? And that's going to be his biggest challenge, because I think when you look at a guy like Joey McGuire, you can start talking about Coach O or Coach Sweeney, who coached last night in the national championship. And you talk about people that are endearing to those around him. Joe McGuire is that. And it doesn't always come down to X's and O's, because you can have brilliant coaches at times that just know everything about the game. Unless you have a Bill Belichick type that just dominates that particular aspect of the game, personality means a lot. And that comes down to recruiting, especially in college. So I have no doubt from that standpoint that Joe McGuire can do it. It's how does he fill out that staff? So I'm going a really roundabout way to answer your question. I don't know exactly what the chances of him getting this gig are, but I think that he has the ability to do it. It's just, is the timing right? Is he able to fill out a staff? And that's what he had to sell to Mac Rhodes over these last, 7 days or so.
Colts, with James Lynch leaving, who do you think? I mean, I know it's a hard question to answer because we don't even know what scheme they're going to be playing next year. But if you had to guess on 3 or 4 defensive linemen that you think will be starting next year, what do you think that'll look like now with the whole defensive line moving on to the NFL?
The number one guy that I'm looking at is Gabe Hall at that nose tackle position. And there are several guys. Now, that's the one position that the current staff, previous staff, however you want to look at it now, recruited massive athletes, and they need to be coached. But Gabe Hall is the epitome of what they wanted at that nose tackle position. He's different. He's a different makeup. The Bravion rule was he's bigger, but you're talking about that guy, a guy that's skilled, extremely strong, and he has yet to go through an offseason training program that's going to allow him to do that. So that's the one guy that I look at, and he could really fit in there. TJ Franklin, obviously, is a guy. Chitty Ogunbayan, however you say his name, I'm awful with that stuff, but he's a guy that really can fit in there that is going to continue to develop. And you're talking about 3 or 4 or 5 guys that are going to be 6'4 to 6'5, 300 pounds, and that's what that staff was really going for. And I look at this coaching search, and I really feel like that Mac Rhodes understands that continuity. There's no need to tear down this program again and try to start implementing things differently. So he's going to find a coach, in my opinion, that's going to be willing to work with is what is on campus to really to limit the amount of setback from learning new schemes and things. So with the makeup that's on campus right now, I think that you'll see a coach that comes in that really is willing to work with that. And there's some guys there that they need to be seasoned. But there's no doubt the amount of talent that they have. And then you start getting into guys like Garmin Randolph, Harrison White, Braylon Taylor, that didn't have a ton of experience right now. But you look at them and you see the flashes that they show on the field. You see it in practice, just their makeup. And there's a lot of depth there. It just has to be proven depth. And we had these same discussions last year. Who's going to step up on the defensive line outside of James Lynch? And that's what we're going to be saying again this year. Who is going to do it? Because we didn't expect Bravion Roy to be as good as he was, or James Lockhart to be as good as he was. Now, I understand that coaching has a lot to do with that, but there's also a lot of potential that's still on this roster that they need. The next coach needs to get the most out of.
Cole, you may not be able to clear this up very much, but just curious, with Matt Rhule still having not hired the majority of his staff, the feeling is he's going to hire some former Baylor assistants. You know, not necessarily everybody, but you know, guys like Sean Patton, who aren't position coaches, are more in the background, but they've already informed Baylor that they're leaving. Others may be candidates for the head coaching job that are already on staff. Others may have other opportunities like a Frank Ocam. Like, what's your understanding of kind of how all of this is working for the guys who are currently here, but they might go to Carolina, or they could go somewhere else, or they're waiting to see who the next head coach is going to be? Like, what kind of can you make of those guys who are sort of in limbo, or is there a timetable for some of this?
I believe that Matt Rhule is being patient with his hiring to allow Baylor to make their decision. And that comes down to, more than likely, is it Joey McGuire or someone promoted internally? I think Joe McGuire is that hot name, but is it Jeff Nixon? Is that a potential hire? Is that someone that he's looking and striving to get a head coaching job? Is he someone that's potentially falling in there? And that allows that staff to fill out or remain intact for the most part if they want to stay. And I don't think Matt Rhule, believe it or not, I don't think Matt Rhule is sitting there and saying, I'm just going to poach this staff. Because if he was going to do that, I think you would probably already know it. When we've seen that he's potentially hiring another defensive line coach, it's popped up on Twitter, and I haven't even read the name or really looked into the name. But he's going to fill out his staff as needed, but also allow Baylor to go through their process. Because at the end of the day, the chances of him taking all of his assistant coaches from Baylor to the NFL were very small. I think there's a select few that he would like to. Obviously, Phil Snow, he mentioned he's never won a college game as a head coach without Phil Snow on his staff. So I think that he trusts him. But I also think that Matt Rhule understands at some point these assistant coaches are going to have to break off for him. And what better way would it be for them to stay at Baylor, maybe under Joey McGuire, and allow them to continue their career and progress in their career? Because he wants to mentor them, but he also doesn't want everyone to be there attached to him either. And I think that he understands that. But at the end of the day, if someone that he trusts needs a job, I think he will find an opportunity for them to allow them to move progress in their career. So, you know, it's really hard to say exactly who's going to stay, who's going to leave, if Joe McGuire or Jeff Nixon potentially got the job. But I don't think that Matt Rhule sitting there saying, I'm going to take everyone away and leave them with nothing if that's the case. I think he really wants to see how this search plays out.
This might be another question that you can't answer, but has there been any update as far as you're concerned of the health of Charlie Brewer?
No, I have not heard anything. Obviously, he was cleared there after the Sugar Bowl from whatever it could potentially would be. I don't know if he had any lingering effects from that, but I think they pretty much said he was okay from their initial fear of it being something pretty severe. But no, I don't have any updates. And unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, I think it's probably best for all involved that we probably won't know anything until spring ball or really know what's going on. And as he gets back out on the field and if he's cleared medically, we'll know at that point.
I can update y'all somewhat. Charlie Brewer was in Vegas like 2 days after the game. So if that tells you anything, just read into that what you will. Steven?
Colts, is there any concern about calming the guys down or any sort of attrition if they don't end up going in-house and hiring Joey, given how much support there is for him among the players?
It's a really good question. It's one I've been asked a lot. And I think there's concern anytime there's turnover. I think that you're extremely naive if you don't think that there's going to be some guys decide to transfer. But I think that truthfully, I think that guys are smart enough and understand what exactly these coaching hires entail, that they know just give it a chance, because I'm gonna uproot myself and go transfer into another program that I really don't know this coach either. You know, they might have recruited me, but I really don't know them. But what they know is Baylor. And I think that they're going to wait to see, hey, what exactly is this new coach? Let me wait through the spring and then make my decision. I think that the majority of those players, if they feel like they're not going to mesh, will make that decision after the spring. Because you really, truthfully, you might see the name and say, oh, this is who they've hired. Same with Matt Rhule in 2016. Those guys had to be worked on to stay at Baylor. And obviously, that was an entirely different situation. No one knew exactly what was going to happen with NCAA, et cetera. But I think that Mac Rhodes understands that aspect of this hire. And he's going to take that into account of who am I going to hire that can keep and maintain this culture that these players are used to? How is he going to relate to these players that have been recruited? Because the last thing Mac Rhodes wants to do is take a program that has saw success and have to destroy it and start over from the beginning. Once again, you know, this can't be a process that continually is done over and done over just because a coach might potentially leave. I think there has to be some stability. And because of that, I'm not really concerned initially about a coaching hire being made and guys just taking off and going elsewhere. I think Mac Rhodes has enough communication with the team especially meeting with them last Sunday night, having communication with them to say, hey, you can trust me on this and make sure you don't rush into any decision, because I have no doubt in my mind that that was told to the team whenever he met with them on Sunday night.
Colt, how important do you think that this next guy is a guy who really is here for, you know, a long haul, not necessarily 20 years, but, you know, somebody here longer than the three that Matt Rhule was? Or if it's a guy who does have that kind of upward trajectory and you know he's going to come in, he may not be here long, but he's going to win, does that trump the longevity factor, just given all of the turnover that Baylor's had at head coach the last 6 years? Do you think that plays into this decision at all?
I think it should, to an extent. Matt Roach can't pass up on who he believes is the right fit for right now. If that's a coach that has 2 years of head coaching experience, everyone expects him to do big things. He comes in, takes Baylor back to the Big 12 championship in a couple of years or whenever it might be. You can't be game planning for saying, well, I can't hire him because he might leave or he might be lured away by another job, because that guy that you might say, well, I know that he would stay here for a while. What if he doesn't win? How happy are people going to be with you then? Would you rather be going through a coaching search where your coach got hired away, or would you rather be going through a coaching search where your coach was fired and you're saying, I'm going to have to rebuild this program now. I'm going to have to get someone in here that creates a winning culture. So I think there's a fine line that he has to walk, and that's why I truly believe that his process of hiring a head coach, there's nothing on record. There's no agents talking. There's a reason that is happening. And that's for him to make the best decision. There's his select group of guys making a hire or helping him make a decision, and nothing gets out. There's no pressure. And obviously there's a different circumstance with Joey McGuire and guys being vocal for him for staying. But Mac Rhodes is not going to make a decision emotionally. And if he starts letting that stuff leak out, and that influences his. And as we know, he's not on Twitter. He's not on social media. About the only time we really ever hear from him is in a press conference or with Smokey. And I think that's a good thing for a guy trying to make a major business decision, because we're talking about, I mean, he was going to pay Matt Rhule however much money it was. He's going to be having to commit if they're going to get a big hire. He's going to be committing a lot of money. So his job's on the line with stuff like this. And I think it's brilliant the way that he's really handling this entire process. And very much like he did in 2016.
Can't let you go without asking about hoops. The Baylor men up to number 2 in the country with big wins last week on the road against Texas Tech, and then Kansas, and the women doing their thing. We're kind of used to them being up in the number 2 spot or close to it. But you can comment on the women if you'd like, Colt. They're just kind of plugging on along, but the men certainly not in this territory very often. Your thoughts on their big week last week?
Man, that was massive. I've been a guy that's kept up with Baylor basketball. And truthfully, I love football, but keeping up with Baylor basketball, that was Baylor, kind of Baylor's upstart. That was Baylor's, you know, women's basketball was there, baseball was there, but basketball, getting back to the NCAA tournament. Man, I don't know if I've ever seen a week like that, of having two massive road wins. Obviously, Texas Tech isn't what they were last year, but they're still a very good, tough team to play on the road. And then winning Kansas, I mean, 16 times. Or 18 times, however many it is, no wins there in Lawrence. And truthfully, Baylor controlled that game from start to finish. I never watched it and, you know, felt like, man, they lost it there for a minute. And
really?
You guys there?
Yeah, you're here, man. You cut out for just a second.
All right. Sorry about that. Yeah, so that speaks to the maturity that they have on that roster. You know, you talk about Jared Butler just being a sophomore, but all those other guys there's no freshman, or, you know, besides Butler, there's no freshman out there on the court playing. And that speaks to what Scott Drew's built. And they're built for the long haul. And if Tristan Clark can get healthy, man, that's impressive. And then you start throwing in, man, Mario Kegler could be on this team as well. How much better could they be than they are right now? And maybe that was a blessing in disguise. Maybe he wasn't meant to be on this team and it wasn't a great fit. But, man, they're playing extremely well right now. And they have a chance to sustain this number one, number two. I mean, first place votes put them at number one, but they're number two. But whatever the case is, they have the chance to maintain where they are right now on the national level with these next few games. And you just hope that they can, you know, that they've built up to this. Now can they maintain it? Can they not have a letdown? Because this team can play with anybody in the country, especially with those guards. They have so many guards that can score from anywhere on the court, create basically anything they want to do offensively, and then defensively, they've been pretty locked down. So I'm excited to see this team continue to develop, and I'm ready to see them over this next couple weeks, you know, continue to sustain what they've started.
You can find Colt on Twitter at Colt_Barber. Also check him out over on Sikkim365.com along with myself and Grayson Grundhafer and others. And good time to be over on the site with all of the speculation around the coaching search. And once that actually occurs, then you can expect an explosion of actual information and recruiting and all that comes with that as well. So any day now, we'll find out who Baylor's next football coach is. But Colt, we do appreciate the time as always, man. Have a great week.
All right, guys. Thank y'all.
Appreciate it. Colt Barber here with us on Sikkim365.com, or here with us from Sikkim365.com on ESPN Central Texas. We'll take a break right here, just about 10 till 2. Start getting ready for our final hour of the day. This is ESPN Radio.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back home in the Farrell Center Wednesday, hosting Iowa State. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday for the Bears and the Cyclones, Big 12 basketball.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
When we moved to Texas, we were like fish out of water. We didn't know anyone in our neighborhood until our Texas Farm Bureau insurance agent came to the house. She was so helpful and reassuring, a friendly face with that Texan hospitality I'd heard about. When we purchased a Texas Farm Bureau insurance policy, we knew we were making the right choice. We knew our family would be protected.
Visit Texas Farm Bureau Insurance today at tfbinsurance.com to find an insurance agent who's a true neighbor. Coverage and discounts are subject to qualifications and policy terms and may vary by situation.
While your favorite team strives to add more gold championship trophies to their trophy case, in business, a championship decision is partnering with UBO Business Services and Sean Hunt. Boasting an industry-leading 94% first-time fix rate, UBO Business Service leaves their copier service competitors in the dust with their own average first-time fix rate of less than 40%. Call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services today, 254-772-1600. That's 254-772-1600.
Congratulations to the Green and Gold for a great 2019 football season. InCommons Bank enjoys being part of the community here in Waco, and we are excited to see what the 2020 football season will bring on the Brazos. Our mission at InCommons Bank is to be the best community bank in Central Texas, and we are doing just that. Our locations include Mejia, Fairfield, Coolidge, Mart, Rosebud, and Waco. Stop by any of our branches or visit us online at InCommonsBank.com to find out more about us. Come see me, Regina, and go Green and Gold.
Member FDIC.
Myatt Fuels. You call, we haul is a high-quality fuel and lubricant distribution company based out of Clifton and West. Myatt Fuels provides our local area with a wholesale delivery of on-road diesel, off-road, farm diesel, gasoline, and non-ethanol. Myatt Fuels has been in Central Texas for several years and based their success on the company's values, integrity, and commitment to their clients with superior service and dedication. Call Nick at Myatt Fuels with all your off-road, farm, on-road, and gasoline delivery needs. Now available non-ethanol gasoline. Call 675-8107 Myatt Fields, or look them up on Facebook.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. After spending the last 9 years as Cowboys Director of Strength and Conditioning in his second tour with the franchise, Mike Woychick will not return on Mike McCarthy's staff. Woychick has won 6 Super Bowl rings, 3 with the Cowboys in the 90s, and 3 with the Patriots. Houston senior quarterback De'Aaron King said Monday night he has entered the NCAA transfer portal. Initially, when deciding to redshirt this year, King indicated he would be back for one more year at Houston in 2020. Coach Dana Holgorsen thought so as well, but King has reversed course. In the NBA tonight, the Rockets hit the road to take on the Grizzlies. The Mavericks and Luka Doncic on the road as well, taking on the last place Warriors.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and
Randy got me hot.
Q's fired up.
I'm not really hot. I mean, I'm not like, you know, angry hot, but I mean, just because I say that Tony Dungy is overrated, you don't have to call and get all fired up at Steven. I mean, if you want to talk about it, call and be on the air and talk about it. But I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Tony Dungy was a very good coach, yes.
But he wasn't, super great. I mean, as much as he's put on this pedestal like he's the end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. And he wasn't the first man of color to win a Super Bowl.
Because who was?
Tom Flores, who, last time I checked, Flores was a man of color. Am I wrong?
I believe you're right on that. As long as he's not white, then yes.
I live with a bunch of folks that don't look exactly like me, but they're still people of color.
Yes, yes. So, yes, he would be a person of color.
That still qualifies, right? Or is it just you just have to be black?
No, yeah, that qualifies.
That's what I thought. I don't want to try to shortchange nobody.
No. Well, you know, it's a guy that is so revered and so respected, and it's not really allowed to talk anything but greatness for some people.
But I don't understand
certain
that.
People.
I don't understand that. I mean, yeah, everybody has their flaws. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, no, it's not a big deal at all. And, you know, I think Dungy is slightly overrated, but I'm not alone in that, obviously, because there's more than one person, or there's somebody else in this room that feels the same way. But it's not really meant to be any kind of, like, debate me on it, like, tell me why I'm wrong. Just our opinions versus the opinions of a lot of other people that think Dungy's like the greatest thing of all time. But I don't think they necessarily say that because I think it's not really about football is
right.
Why he's so revered. I think the football is like the afterthought. It's like, he's such a great man. He's such a great talker. And he was almost a minister, and he could have, and then, oh yeah. And he won
and
a Super Bowl.
And that's all true.
And
I respect
true.
Him for it. Yeah. When I see him, I shake his hand and say hello. We ran into him in New Orleans. It's like, hey, how you doing? Respect. I'll show him respect. Doesn't mean I don't think he's overrated.
No, he can still be overrated. You know, it's an opinion. It's what everybody has. So some people might agree with that. Some people might not. But it's like anything else. We can argue it to the end of time, and probably no one will budge from that.
It just makes more sense, though, if you're going to call and be upset about it. Call and talk to us. Don't give Simi an earful when he's just trying to do his job, just trying to answer the phone and pass on a message.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why we do what we do. So if you want to chime in this next hour on that, or the national championship game last night, or Baylor's head coaching search, 254-662-1660 is the number to call, 254-662-1660. Also, the Bush's Chicken text line as well. I know we've got some texts that we need to get to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to do it right now, though, and cram it all in right here. So we'll get to that as we open up this next hour, talk some more national championship game. And in this next hour, we'll also be joined by Richard Justice, one of the best to do it. From MLB.com, talking the game of baseball and the Astros fallout from yesterday and where they go from here. I mean, I think it's clear they go hire a new manager and they hire a general manager, or they promote within.
You know, a question that I have for Richard Justice, what? And maybe, I mean, I'm sure you probably have an answer on it as well, but I don't know what the exact answer is. If they are fired, which they are, and they're also suspended by Major League Baseball, can that go at the same time? You know what I mean? Can they serve their suspension while they actually have no job, or do they have to wait till they're employed?
No, I think they serve it now. Yeah.
You do think so?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It sounds like you could do that, but then I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think they serve it. They're just not going to coach for a year or GM for a year.
Right.
And then the day after the World Series next season, they're eligible to return to baseball.
Okay.
Yeah, so they can both be hired, GM and manager. His names are escaping me right now for some
Luenau
reason.
Luenau and Hinch.
Yes, thank you. Luenau and Hinch. I kept getting that mixed up yesterday with Crane also being the owner, and he was talking, but yeah, Luenau and Hinch, they can be hired by a team the day after this upcoming World Series. So that's what they're facing. So we'll talk about all that with Richard Justice. I'm sure he's got some good thoughts on what he saw unfold yesterday, as well with all of his years of experience covering the game. It's 1:57. Get on into it this final hour, the 2 o'clock hour, this ESPN Central Texas.
Recently on You Make the Call.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to say, first of all, y'all, thank y'all for all the coverage y'all did there in New Orleans and everything else. It's a great job. I don't see how you could have done it any better. I'm always know everybody always kind of looks back and see maybe we could have done this or this, but I can't think of a thing. But I appreciate y'all doing that for everybody back here in Central Texas. But the main thing is my legacy deal for this team, heck, y'all, I mean, they're 2 years ahead of anything that I would have expected. I mean, I was hoping they'd be at this point where they're at right now, 2 years down the road. I mean, I thought maybe 7 wins, 8 wins would be really good. Anything above that was gravy on the steak. You know, so I mean, you know, their legacy is they're way ahead of where they're at, and they're in a good place to, you know, maybe take another step. You know, even if they stay status quo, exactly what they did this year, that's still going to be a heck of a season, y'all.
You make the call on ESPN Central Texas.
Every- for you.
First Central Credit Union is seeing 2020. Are you paying more than 3.9 annual percentage rate on credit cards? Transfer your balances today. First Central's Visa credit card has 3.9% for 12 months. Seeing 2020 financially clear means less stress and savings with your goals in view. No balance transfer fees, annual fees. We guarantee no hidden costs. Come see us or apply online at firstcentralcu.com.
Eligibility and application requirements apply. Member NCUA.
It's Matt Mosley Show, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics, your Central Texas Chevy truck headquarters. Business online at turnerchevy.com. For the best deal on your new Chevrolet, stop by and see the all-new 2019 Silverado 1500 today.
If you have a business or a school or a team that needs to put their logo on something, then let the pros at Mallory Screen Printing and Embroidery do the job for you. They can customize your logo on t-shirts, caps, dress shirts, golf shirts, winter apparel, and more. Stickers for any occasion, banners and signs, large or small. See more at MalloryPrint.com or call 1-800-433-2220. For your next custom screen printing or embroidery, check out their full catalog at MalloryPrint.com.
Hi, this is Bruce Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon, and you're listening to ESPN Central Texas.
Why not make it quick and easy to feed the entire family? Just stop by Bush's Chicken for Tender Tuesday. You get 16 tenders, a family gravy, and four rolls for just $11.99. Bush's Chicken, simply the best.
I'm Christine Lisi. Here's what's happening. A team for the ages is how LSU coach Ed Orgeron described his Tigers' ranking in college football history the day after his Tigers' dominating win over Clemson in the national championship game. Coach O added they couldn't have done it without quarterback Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy winner, now set to become the number one overall pick in the NFL draft in April. Burrow's 2019 season, one for the ages, according to ESPN's Marcus Spears.
Dude, the confidence, man. Like, this dude was operating on a whole different level. And it was like everybody thought I was taking shots at Trevor Lawrence by saying Joe Burrow was the better quarterback. Dude, this was one of those, like, this was one of those Giannis seasons, one of those LeBron seasons.
Marcus Spears on Golic and Wingo. Washington State's hired Hawaii's Mikrolovich as its new head coach. NBA Hawks guard Trae Young available to play tonight against the Suns after missing the last game with an injured hamstring. NHL Penguins captain Sidney Crosby, sidelined more than 2 months with a core muscle injury, will return tonight to play against the Wild.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
KRZI Waco. K256BW Waco. ESPN Central Texas. Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Boozer's Jewelers Premier Diamonds and the Wedding Ring Store on the corner of Valley Mills and Lake Air in Waco. The 2 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness is brought to you by Wings Pizza and Things in Temple.
Let's roll!
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is Unnecessary Roughness. Here's Craig Smoke and your boy Q.
Welcome into the 2 o'clock hour of Unnecessary Roughness here on ESPN Central Texas. Craig Smoke, your boy Q, and Stephen Simcox producing. And college football is now officially over with the national championship game played last night.
Hey, what's the deal with Odell Beckham Jr. handing out money on the field, and why is that okay?
I was going to actually bring that up. There are two controversies. I use that term very loosely from last night. Was one LSU players smoking cigars in the locker room and a policeman coming right in there and basically telling them that's a no-no and they're going to get in trouble or whatever, which with all the smoking ban rules nowadays, I can see where people are pretty uptight about that, but I don't know. That seems like the most uncool cop in the entire
right,
world.
Exactly. Said there was too much smoke in there and they were going to arrest all the players that were doing it. And,
yeah, for smoking a cigar indoors, which I guess is, yeah, it's against the law in pretty much every place in this country now. But still, that was a big nothing burger. But Odell Beckham actually handing out money on the field to players last night who are not all NFL draft eligible, I don't believe, was something else entirely and something that I think is just so SEC. I just think that they flaunt that takes place, you know, openly kind of mock and laugh. Like, no, of course we don't do that, when in reality most everybody does. And I just think it's just so brazen and kind of the lay of the land in college football these days, where there's a lot of programs the NCAA even flinches at them, and they flinch back, or they don't flinch. And if anything, they call their bluff. And, you know, some schools have been successful in calling that bluff, and other schools just downright don't care, don't believe the NCAA is really going to do anything. Now, LSU had nothing to do with Odell Beckham having wads of cash and handing it out to players, but I would hope.
But you can't do that in public.
I would hope the NCAA has somebody watching saying, all right, we get the setting and all of that, but that cannot go on.
Right.
That cannot go on, and that's a bad look for Odell Beckham and LSU. I understand there's going to be a lot of people, you're too serious, you're an old, you're whatever. No, it's the rules or it's not the rules.
I mean, what's the difference between Uncle Luke handing out money after Miami games back in the day?
Might as well have.
I mean, like, what's the difference? Yeah, what's the difference? And then if he's handing out money right there on the field right after the national championship game and talking about counting it out and then talking about, I told you, I got you.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what does that say that he ain't been doing that all year long?
Exactly.
LSU said it was fake money.
Fake money.
Funny.
Of course money. They did.
I'd like to see one of those bills.
Right.
See how fake it really is.
And if it was, why would you go through all that?
Yeah. I don't know why he's carrying around a wad of fake bills, but sure, we'll believe that it was fake money. I'm not going to believe it until I see a fake dollar bill.
No. I just think it was a bad look. You know, I don't care what the punishment is. If there's any punishment, there probably won't be. But, I mean, I don't care about all that. I just don't think it's a good look for college sports in general.
Yeah, and it's not this is why the players should be – it's not an argument like that.
Huh.
It's against the rules, and Odell Beckham was potentially in front of everybody just openly disrespecting the rules.
Right.
And so you can disagree with the rules. You can think that players should get paid, but the bottom line is they're not allowed to right now. So – if he was handing over fake money, still think it was a dumb look.
What I mean, look, put it like this. What if, you know, the Lady Bears win the national championship last year and Nina Davis runs on the court and is giving Chloe Jackson money? She's gone.
I guarantee you a lot more people are paying attention to it.
Right, if she's handing her dollar bills talking about, I got you, girl. I told you, got you. I mean, it would have been an issue.
She'd be ineligible in about 2 days,
right.
If not sooner.
Yeah, I just think it's a bad look.
Yeah, I do too. I think it was a bad look is what I keep going back to as well. A bad look by Odell Beckham Jr. And we're in a society now where, and I don't know, I don't really like talking about society as a whole and lumping everything together, but there's such a movement, especially online, for like just no rules, no nothing. Like, let's just everybody have fun all the time and do whatever they want to all the time. So the Odell Beckham thing for the Twitter world, that's fun. Why can't we have fun? But it's, there's a point where it crosses that line, and so we got to have some sort of standards, right? And so a player where players aren't allowed to get paid from the NFL openly being on the field after a national championship game and handing out money to players who aren't eligible to receive that is a big slap in the face. It's basically hawking a loogie in the face of everything that college football is supposed mm-hmm. to be about. So
yeah.
You can laugh and have fun and ha-ha and all that's why can't everybody lighten up and all that? But it's the rules, and it's you're either a college football fan or you're not.
Right.
And so that's what it boils down to for me. I'm not nearly as upset about this as I probably sound, but just thinking about it and thinking about the number of people are like, ha, who cares? I mean, what do we care about?
It's just not a good look.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
Again, it's not something to get all worked up about. And believe me, I basically forgot about it already. It's just one of those things that it doesn't appear to look right.
Yeah, and I still do not believe that was fake money.
I don't either.
By any means at all.
If he carries fake money around in his fanny pack or whatever,
like
then
he's thinking 2 days ahead, it's like, this will be funny.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Teresa, go get me some, you know, a wad of fake $100 bills.
Exactly. The look on the players' faces when they were receiving it didn't look like they were receiving fake money either.
No, and it didn't look like the first time they received it either.
No, it sure didn't.
So, yeah, I have no doubts LSU is paying players and cheating and doing all that kind of jazz, because I would say the same thing for about pretty much every program out there. But, you know, don't openly flaunt it.
It is
the one thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing it behind the scenes and you're breaking the rules and you're getting away with it, then by all means, you know, you're doing what you can do to get a competitive advantage. And as long as you're not hurting anybody and not arguing on whether players should get paid or not or
right.
any of that. But if you're just openly flaunting it in that way, that's very Miami in the 80s. And
that's what it felt like when I was watching it.
That's exactly
what it felt like.
Yeah. And I just think that got to the point of it was just so over the top and so in your face that it just kind of became kind of gross, quite
right.
frankly,
mm-hmm.
How much they were flaunting the rules. I think there's a line that you can kind of cross. And not saying Odell Beckham crossed that. I just think he picked a really bad time to try to be funny.
Might as well go on and rode on out there in a Trans Am or something.
Or he was, yeah, exactly. Or a little drunk and just was not caring. right. at that point in time that his alma mater just won a national championship. But yeah, that was pretty bizarre to see last night. And
I think that's the best way to put it. That was bizarre.
Yeah, don't know how he thought that was a great idea, but. All I know is that the younger crowd, or even some of the older crowd, well, that's so gangster, that's so baller, that's so whatever. I just think it was pretty stupid in the long run. So I'm sure somebody's Zapruder filming the cash, getting the closest angle possible to see if it's a real bill or not. But I'm pretty confident that it was. Pretty confident he was paying those players right on the field following a national championship game.
Right on the field. I mean,
think about that.
I know. There was no time wasted at all. It was just like, yeah, let's go ahead and make this happen.
Yep. So must have dipped into the LSU basketball coffers to go grab that money is probably what happened. So that game last night, Joe Burrow was phenomenal. Looked for a moment like he was a bit banged up, took a hard hit into his ribs, and for about two series there, it looked as though Clemson had an opening and Joe Burrow wasn't going to be nearly as accurate. But, man, as good as Joe Burrow is, and he's really stinking good, the group that I go back to for LSU is just their wide receivers. Like, that's just such an unfair matchup for any school in the country. If Clemson with multiple All-American defensive backs and five-star players can't even cover LSU's wide receiving core for more than a couple of quarters, quite frankly. I think that just goes to show you how phenomenal that grouping is, and they're all going to be in the pros sooner rather than later.
Yes.
But they're as impressive, if not more impressive to me, than any other unit that was out on the field last night was the LSU wide receivers, and that's kind of been my takeaway every time I've watched LSU this year. Burrow is great. Allaire is great. But those wide receivers are on a different planet, man.
No, they really are. But I'll tell you, man, Burrow really opened up the game, and I feel like the game was changed when he started using his legs.
Yeah.
When he started getting mobile, and then all of a sudden that was another element. Then all of a sudden, boom, you bring a running back into the fold as well. And that little running back, man, Deuce, he was a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm.
That dude don't go down. You know what I mean? That guy's got a hell of a base. He's a guy that just keeps going. And some of the stop and goes that they have, even though one of them clearly was out of bounds, but still, that's a whole nother play. But
there was a couple calls last night.
A little suspect.
That I was like, huh.
Yeah, I didn't like the ejection either. I thought that was a pretty bad call and a really bad blow for Clemson. But either way, man, some of the moves that those guys had, it kind of going back to what you said, feel like they were on a whole different class. You know, they caught the ball, stop. Oh, they're not going out of bounds. They're going to put their foot in the ground and they're going to cut back upfield.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty outstanding.
They got speed for days, too.
Yeah, buddy.
They can all catch. They can all run pretty good routes. And, yeah, there's just not a secondary out there that proved all year long they could really hang with LSU. So they're loaded at pretty much every single position. They're going to lose a lot. But that'll be an interesting game next year for Texas, because they're not going to get this ramped up version of LSU. They're going to get an entirely different version, because you'll have guys like Delpit and Burrow and many others that are not going to be a part of this team next season. But special run for the Tigers, no doubt. And happy for Ed O that he got this monkey off his back, that he can now enter himself into this pantheon of coaches who have won national titles. And there's a lot of really good coaches, a lot of guys you'd probably take over Ed Orgeron, quite frankly, before last night and maybe still today, that never won national titles. So that's a really hard thing to do. And Ed O just seems like a great dude. And that's why he's so beloved in Louisiana. And I think outside as well. I mean, he's been as big a part of the face and the story of that team all year as Joe Burrow or as anybody else on that roster. So I think there's a lot of people happy for Ed O.
He's a good CEO. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
he's not a great coach.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think he's a really good CEO, and I think he trusts the guys that he put in position to do their job.
Right. Yes. Yes. Because that's Joe Brady offensively.
Right.
You know, that's,
and he's not even the offensive coordinator.
No, technically not. And so, yeah, I think that Ed Orgeron is a great manager. I think if you're going to get down to X's and O's, he's probably not your top five choice,
right.
Maybe even top 10 choice. But he's got the right coordinators and the right assistants around him. And if he's got that, and obviously the talent will be there because he can recruit his tail off. As long as he's got the right people around him, then he can be, you know, having the type of success that he was having last night. And so he gets to the mountaintop, and can't imagine anybody who would have thought that after the USC failure and just kind of his travels around college football that he would be, you know, sitting there raising that lipstick trophy. I missed the crystal football. That was much prettier than that lipstick trophy, but lifting that lipstick trophy just goes to show you, man, when you're down and out and things are low, that they're not over. You know what I mean? That you can climb out of that hole and you can go make something better for yourself. How did Joe Burrow feel after he got beat out by Justin Fields for the starting quarterback spot at Ohio State and basically got forced into a transfer, or just sit on the bench all year and not become a Heisman Trophy winner, a national champion, an SEC champion, potential number one overall pick at quarterback? Ed O, you know, several times in his career could have just been like, all right, that's it. I'm just going to be a DC for forever, what have you. And nope, he's now at the mountaintop as well. And I'm sure there's a lot of other stories like that for LSU. So, yeah, it just goes to show you just keep grinding. And you do that, and more often than not, you'll be guaranteed to have an opportunity like those guys did in, you know, in your life. Let's go to Jose and Temple. You're on ESPN Central Texas. What's up, Jose?
Hey, all right. Appreciate the call. I've been up here in Dallas since the year started up, and I got a chance to watch the Baylor girls against UConn. Hey, Q, you know, them girls, they got some game, and that was amazing. And the men's basketball also playing pretty good ball. And I'm sad that Matt Rhule left, and I don't know about all that kind of stuff, but, you know, he said he was going to stay. I don't know if he's going to stay or not, but I'm glad that we got the men's basketball and the girls' basketball playing some good game, and I hope they stick around.
Hey, Jose, thanks for the phone call.
Well, they ain't going nowhere.
No.
They ain't going nowhere, but they go straight to the top. They keep on rising, but I get your point right there. Yeah, the men and the women are playing really, really good ball right now.
Yeah, they're both the number two teams in the country, so mm-hmm. they're pretty good, both sides. And we'll see, you know, starting back up with tomorrow, what the future holds for both these teams. But on paper already, they're both in the tournament, and they've just got to basically not collapse between now and March. If they don't, then the Baylor men should be a relatively high seed, and screw around, it might end up a really high seed. And the Baylor women, we know, will be a one or a two. Two would actually be, you know, like the worst case scenario probably mm-hmm. for them. But yeah, they've been playing really well, and you know, unfortunate on Matt Rhule, but hey, he left. He's in Carolina, and they'll make a hire at some point. Any day now, they will have their new head coach, and we'll be getting the introductory press conference and all that jazz. So appreciate the phone call, Jose and Temple. The odds for next year, Vegas never sleeps, truly. The odds for next year are already out, and I don't so much care about Heisman odds. I think the Heisman odds this early are really ridiculous. National championship odds, I think you can kind of have some science with that, because go ahead and take Ohio State and Clemson and LSU, and I'm sure Texas will be mentioned. They always are, no matter what. And, you know, two or three others, Oregon probably. And I'll throw them in a pile and sort it out, and you'll have your, you know, your odds for next year on the teams that are expected. But how about the Big 12? How's that viewed with all the turnover that there's been as far as, you know, Matt Rhule now being gone, and they were in the championship game last year, and some of the assistant coaching hires that were made? I'll have that for you next, how Vegas views the Big 12 next season. This is ESPN Central Texas.
There's a reason customers drive from all over Texas to buy a Ram pickup truck from Cameron Autoplex, where they say it's always cheaper in Cameron.
This is a Fox 44 weather update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike LaPointe. Cloudy with areas of fog, drizzle, and mist, at least through the morning hours. And a lot of clouds still hanging tough as we hit the afternoon. Still very mild with highs topping out at 73 degrees. It'll be mostly cloudy tonight. We fall to 63. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms developing in the afternoon and a high of 76. Join me every weeknight during Fox 44 News at 5:30 and 9 for your forecast first. Plus, check out fox44news.com for any changes in the weather.
It's a new year, new truck savings at Richard Carr. Sierra is the best truck on the road, and you can get into a new Sierra 2020 SLT Crew Cab for $10,000 off right now at Richard Carr. You can also save on the entire lineup of 2019 Buick SUVs. For example, right now, save $6,000 on a Buick Encore. And right now, qualified buyers get 0% for 72 months on all 2020 Buick SUVs, GMC Sierras, or GMC Terrains. That's no interest for 6 years on 2020 Encore, Enclave, Envision, Sierra, or Terrain. Richard Carr Motors will do what it takes to earn your business, get more for your trade, free oil changes, $20 loaner cars with your car in service, and their drive home today guarantee. And if they don't have the exact car you want in stock, they'll get it for you within 24 to 48 hours, but put you in a quality loaner today. So go see the people you can count on at Highway 6, the Imperial Exit, or at RichardCarMotors.com. GMC, we are professional grade.
J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance for 8 consecutive years for the highest customer satisfaction with auto insurers in Texas. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodge and Loop in Temple.
This is Susan Kelly, and I want to congratulate Baylor's football team for its amazing performance this season. Since attending Baylor and later its law school, I've been dedicated to this community as a citizen and as a lawyer. If elected to the 19th District Court, I will continue this dedication, serving with honor and integrity. Early voting starts February 18th, and I ask for your vote. Happy New Year and justice for all.
This ad paid for by the Susan Kelly for District Judge campaign, Nancy Lacey, Treasurer.
Did you know that one out of every four men have symptomatic low levels of testosterone and don't even know it? And if you think you're too young to worry about it, guess again. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy, cause weight gain, and wreak havoc on your sexual desire and performance. Petty Clinic Low T can set up same-day blood screening and results, so if you're tired of being tired, I challenge you to man up. It's a private clinic with an atmosphere catering to men. Affordable, only $150 a month, includes lab work, office consultation, testosterone injections, follow-up visits compared to $395 a month in Dallas or Austin, and you don't have to fight the traffic. Petty Clinic Low T is board-certified physician consultations will provide the best form of brand-strength testosterone available. Listen up. If you're looking for increased energy and strength, improvement in sexual desire and performance, elevated mood, focus, concentration, contact Petty Clinic Low T today. Just off Highway 84 and Old Hewitt Drive in Woodway, Petty Clinic Low T. PettyClinicLowT.com or Google search Low T Waco.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600. UBO Business Services.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and before we get to some texts and then eventually into Richard Justice, early 2020 odds from Sports Betting Dime. This is random, I guess, that Drew Davison, who covers TCU, picked or came across, but it does have the early 2020 odds for the Big 12 Conference next season. Your favorites for the umpteenth year in a row, the Oklahoma Sooners, 9-5 odds to win the Big 12 Conference next year. Number two team, Texas, 5-1 odds. Number, and mind you, for Texas, this should be the year. Okay?
Every year is the year.
No, but seriously, though, this is the year.
Of course it is.
Put up, no. Put up or shut up, Tom Herman, on, you know, last year when things did not go as well as they were supposed to, is, oh, well, we were always kind of looking at 2020 as the year. We heard that from Jeff Howe on multiple occasions, and to be fair to him, he did say before the season he thought that 2020 was more of a year and that the expectations for 2019 might have been blown a little out of whack by the fact that they beat Georgia in the fashion that they did, and maybe they got a little ahead of themselves, right? But, this year's the year. Like, there's no, well, no, 2021's the season. No, this year is the year. So, Tom Herman, go do your thing and prove it. That's
we'll
just
see.
All I'm coming from.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see if he's able to get over the hump. If he's not, I don't know. I don't know what happens, but I mean, he looks like he's in a pretty good position over there in Austin, regardless of what the outcome is.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty set up well, but he can't afford a bad season. He's got to have a good season, and this is the year that they were kind of propping up. So we'll see in 2020 if finally the hype pays off. Iowa State, third best odds at 6-1, and Baylor at 4, 7-1 odds to win the Big 12 next year. Which is pretty surprising that they're that high.
Yeah, no, I mean,
with no head coach.
No, that's true. I mean, they don't have a head coach, but I feel like that most people realize that they have a nice little foundation that's still left behind, and they feel like they'll be able to build off that, especially if they stay in house.
Yeah, so 7-1 odds for them. Oklahoma State, who got the news that Chuba Hubbard is coming back to school. So Spencer Sanders, you already knew was going to be back. Basically, your questions were, you know, what happens at wide receiver and also at running back, and you're getting your best players at both positions back next year. So a team with really no excuses entering next season is Oklahoma State. They have 8-1 odds, fifth in the Big 12. K-State, 12-1. TCU, West Virginia, Kansas, and Texas Tech. Kansas and Texas Tech both picked to finish last with 90-1 odds to win the conference. So nice little payoff. He put 10 down, went about $900 if somehow Tech or Kansas were able to win the Big 12 next season. And not sure why Tech's being looked at so lowly, but there's only so many places they could be, obviously, with 10 spots, but I just didn't expect 10th out of 10 alongside KU. So there you go. Oklahoma, Texas, as usual. Iowa State, Baylor, Oklahoma State, your top five odds to win the Big 12 next season. So Chuba's back. That's big news, obviously, for Oklahoma State, and it was somewhat unexpected. Before we take another break here, you had some text, though. I know we need to pass along.
Yeah, I just got one right now. So y'all really think Joe Burrow's going to be tight at the next level? Remember, I said it. No, he's not. He's not, dude. You just said it, too. The receiver's fit to make him good. Ohio State, all I got to say.
I think he's going to be successful. Ohio State LSU game, that would have been a lot of fun, but maybe it would have turned out just like last night. I know Ohio State fans can say otherwise, but they have no way of proving it. So right. I can say that any team I want to should have won this game or that game if they had played in it. But I actually think he's going to be pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm basing that not off so much his receivers, the throws he made to those wide receivers. I mean, I'm not taking that for granted. Some of those throws were absolute teardrops and just beautiful spirals. So the dude's got an arm. He can run a little bit better than your average guy, and he just seems like he's smart and he knows what he's doing and he's locked in and he's focused. Like, I don't see any, size concerns or attitude concerns.
No, he's gonna work his tail off. He's going to be a Cincinnati Bengal, so remember that. I mean, he's going to have a lot of work to do to be a really good team, but I do think he'll have success on the next level. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. Everyone thinks that Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great quarterback, and hell, he had 13 overthrows last night.
Yeah, he was not good last night.
No.
LSU had a lot to do with that on defense, but certainly that was not the best performance for young Trevor Lawrence.
No. Corey, my dude, hit us up and said, guys, sit back and think about what Baylor has done this year so far. Football, Sugar Bowl, volleyball, Final Four, boys basketball, number two, girls basketball, number two, and a Baylor head coach just became the sixth highest paid coach in the NFL. That alone is nuts. This isn't the same old Baylor, and coach will want to come here. I trust Rose to find the right one.
A lot of people do. A lot of people are trusting Mac Rose to find the right guy, whether it's Joey McGuire or someone else. But, yeah, I put back about 2 months ago on Twitter something similar to that, just running down the accomplishments, and it was based mostly then on the fact that they had multiple teams in the top 10 or on the verge of the top 10, and they've only gone up higher pretty much since then. I will make mention that the final polls out for college football, and Baylor finished at 13th, so had an opportunity to be a top 5 team, and that loss to Georgia and all the other bowl results. They were at 13th.
They were 14th.
It was 14th?
I thought they were 14th. There's three teams in the Big 12. Was that AP or was that another poll?
Well, it was the one poll I saw, and I think it was the AP, but I'll double check
on that. I thought there was three teams from the Big 12, and Texas was 25th, and I thought Baylor was 14th, and Oklahoma was 7th, maybe?
Yeah, they'd ended up with less than a handful of teams, about what they typically do get in there. But yeah, they're 13, 14, whatever poll I was looking at. So they're a top 15 team to finish the season. And, of course, LSU is your number one team to finish the season as well. Here's the AP. Now I got it pulled up. I know we got a break, but whatever.
famous last words.
Baylor 13th in the AP.
Are they really? Okay.
Yeah, so.
I don't know what I was looking at.
Go me.
I
remembered that right from earlier today. So, yeah, 13th, the final spot for Baylor in the rankings there. We'll take a break. And coming up next, it'll be Richard Justice of MLB.com. Talking Astros and MLB offseason. It's ESPN Radio.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back home in the Farrell Center Wednesday hosting Iowa State. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday for the Bears and the Cyclones Big 12 basketball.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley. We're brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet and McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's a December employee pricing for everyone event. With our best year-end deals, come see the difference that so many of our friends have raved about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerchevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Sick 'em, Bears!
Since 1952, Texas Farm Bureau Insurance has been protecting customers' moments, the big, the small, and the everyday, helping customers manage the financial risk of everyday life and successfully recover from any insured loss through prompt, professional, and personal service based on high ethical standards and fairness. And J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance 8 consecutive years for highest customer satisfaction among auto insurers. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, txfb-ins.com.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update, brought to you by Slovacic Sausage in West. The Baylor men are number two in both polls this week. Scott Drew joined the Matt Mosley Show on Monday and discussed the calming effect of Jared Butler.
The strength in any good team is you have to have multiple people who can step up, and you have to have depth, because not everyone's going to have an on night every night, and that's why it takes a team to win. And the one thing that I was really pleased with was when Jared did get going, our guys did a great job to continually find him. And sometimes you find teams where someone gets going and another person wants it to be their time or wants to get in the act. Again, when you have some working, just like Freddie, we were able to get him back-to-back layups. And the team, why we've been good is we have multiple weapons. And
Baylor welcomes Iowa State to the Farrell Center Wednesday night.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, Craig Smoke, your boy Q, and Stephen Simcox producing. We're still a few weeks away from baseball spring training getting up and going, but pitchers and catchers reporting here relatively soon. And, of course, baseball making some headlines yesterday with the Astros story having another chapter added, and that was the results, the investigation coming back from Major League Baseball, and then the fallout that saw both Lunau and Hinch out of jobs there in Houston. Joining us now on the phone lines to talk some MLB is Richard Justice, the great Richard Justice from MLB.com. And Richard, we do appreciate your time this afternoon. You've seen a lot of crazy stories in baseball over the years, scandals, etc., and cheating. And the Astros are by no means the only team that's ever been accused of cheating, or the only team currently accused of cheating. But Richard, in knowing all of the buildup, reading the Manfred report, and then finally seeing what MLB elected to do with the Astros yesterday, what were your thoughts when you saw that punishment dropped?
Probably that he had no choice. That two things on Luno was just that, You're the guy in charge. Second, you created a culture that is terrible in dealing with other clubs, dealing with the media, and you put winning at all costs above everything else. In other words, you lost sight of your ethics and all of that. And my initial thought was that Luno would be banned for life and that A.J. Hinch would get a one-year suspension. So Jim Crane took care of it and did what he had to do. And so, you know, you can take the cloud out of the front office. You just say, okay, we're going to get a whole new front office. These guys aren't here anymore. The problem is the cloud in the clubhouse with everything all those players accomplished the last 3 years, all the great things they did. Everything you do is going to be called into question. You know, people say, why didn't they vacate the World Series? They did something just as effective as vacating the World Series. They tainted it.
Yeah, that's where I wanted to go next, because owner Jim Crane said that he doesn't feel that the World Series title is tainted. But like you just said, it feels like it is to me. I mean, how is it to you?
Yeah, of course it is. And, but, you know, he's saying what he wants to say. Look, the background, I'm not, you guys know this, like Houston was always the team that watched others celebrate, always watched the other team celebrate on their diamond, on their court, basketball court, or in their, you know, they were the team that blew a 32-point lead to Buffalo. And to have this moment where this hurricane-ravaged city embraced this team, and this team embraced the city, and this team that played with such joy and energy, I mean, it was unimaginably sweet. The year before, we'd seen the Cubs win, which I didn't think anything could top that, but for somebody who lives in Houston, that watching the Astros win just was off the charts. I was on the field after Game 7, and the two Hall of Famers, Biggio and Bagwell, were like, they were just speechless. They had lumps in their throat. And now you've called all of that. You've sort of tainted all of that. And what happens now, like, the players are going to have to answer those questions directly or indirectly for as long as you can imagine. What if they're five games under 500 in July 1 and Altuve's hitting 210? It'll be, aha, you guys couldn't do it playing by the rules. The only way you get past it is you go 20-5, play deep into the playoffs again, and erase it and say, see, we were the real deal. Because I think it's still unclear whether they cheated in 2019 or not. But it doesn't matter. You go back and look, wow, he looked like he was sitting on that pitch. Everything gets called into question once you've opened that door.
Have you heard from front offices around the league on if they think this was fair and if they're satisfied with how this went, the punishment?
Well, everybody complains. I think I may be talking to the wrong people. Jeff Lunos doesn't seem to be particularly popular, and I think there were a lot of clubs are glad to see him get what he got. AJ, people love AJ. I love AJ. I think they're sorry. But the thing is, what is leadership? Leadership is doing the right thing, even when it's not all that pleasant. The owner, Jim Crane, said yesterday, I don't want to be dealing with this. I hate dealing with this, but I'm going to deal with it. And I'm going to do the right thing for us as an organization and us as a city. We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And he did it. And it was unpleasant, and his voice cracked a couple of once at least. And you move on. But, you know, you can't really – it's going to be a long time getting over it.
I think you saw why Crane is so successful just by watching him and how he handled such a heavy task of that press conference. Richard Justice, MLB.com, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. And Richard, cheating's been something throughout sports and baseball for ever and ever. Obviously, this is another kind of ugly chapter for the game of baseball, but how many teams are just thankful that they haven't had the microscope put on them or got caught in the act? Like, how widespread do you think this was, or do you think we really are talking about, you know, like a handful or a couple of teams being heavily involved in this type of act?
You know, I think everybody looks for whatever advantage they can get. And, you know, sign stealing is part of the game. Like, guys like Frank Robinson could look at a pitcher and know. Tony Gwynn could look at a pitcher and know what the guy was going to throw before he threw it and just could tell by the arm slot and all that. That's intuitive. That's part of a culture. That's part of a lifetime in the game. That is the game. When you use all the electronics, that makes an uneven playing field, because if you're playing the Astros and they have cameras here, there, and everywhere, and they have monitors set up here, that means you're playing with an uneven playing field, and it strikes at the integrity of the game. You go to a game, you want to know both sides are playing by the same rules.
We know that the GM's gone. We know that the manager is gone. Also is gone is some draft picks that they're going to have. How much is this going to hurt the Astros as they continue to build this team, and they want to have success down the line, but now they don't have first-round picks, second-round picks, and they're out some money?
Yeah, they wanted to build something sustainable. They traded four prospects to get Zach Greinke. That puts them on – that depletes your farm system. Those four guys will all play in the big leagues this year at a minimum salary. And now you take four high draft picks away from them. It's the most important things teams have now are payroll flexibility and elite prospects. And you've just hit the Astros with the elite prospects part of it at a time when the farm system was already a little bit down. Yeah, that's the part. You know, what in saying goodbye to the GM and the manager yesterday, it took so much oxygen out of the room. It's going to take a while to get around that just the draft pick part of it will be a while figuring it out. I mean, they got bigger fish to fry right now. Like, hey, who's in charge? And yeah. Jim Crane said, right now I'm in charge of the baseball ops. He hasn't been a hands-on owner. You know, Drake McClain was was much more hands-on. But Jim was in the room last week when they were going through the arbitration preparations and all of that. And, you know, he just – one thing he has – I think he believes they have good people there. And what you do is you just – well, I guess what leadership is you try to get the best information, and somebody has to make a decision. For now, that's him.
What do you think Alex Cora is looking at punishment-wise, Richard?
I don't think he's going to manage in 2020. You know, I mean, he's mentioned in the report 11 times, and there was he was the mastermind behind the scheme. So he's going to pay. He's going to regret doing this. That's going to be the bottom line.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. So the Astros are going to hire a manager and a general manager. And I know that the emotions are going to come into play somewhat here, Richard, but on paper, do you feel like this is a team that can rebound from an offseason of bad headlines and still go out there and put the same type of product they've been putting out the last few years? Or do you think that this off the field takes a toll to the on the field product as well?
Well, yeah, AJ was so important to what they've done, to the culture, the communication. I mean, he was unbelievably great. So there you have that, and then you take 200 innings and 300 strikeouts out of the rotation, Gerrit Cole. So after winning 107, there's going to be some slippage there. They don't know about their top pitching prospect, Forrest Whitley. They don't know what to expect. But their everyday lineup's really good. You know, they have one more year of George Springer, one more year of Michael Brantley, one more year of Josh Reddick. They're really in a good spot from that standpoint, and what they need is some of the young pitchers to stand up. What I'm saying is the team's going to be good, probably still easily the favorite to win the AL West. But a lot of things have changed. And also when you look at the division, Texas has gotten better. Anaheim has gotten better. And Oakland is Oakland. Oakland's going to compete.
Just to be 100% clear, Lunau, he's out of a job. Hinch is out of a job. But they can serve their suspension at the same time, right?
Yeah, they're done in 2020.
Okay.
They could be employed in 2021. It would be interesting to see if anybody wants to hire them.
And that was my next question. Do you think Hinch will get another shot in baseball as a manager, Richard?
Yeah, he is so well liked, and he's going to do an apology tour. I don't know if that's the right phrase. He in the report said, "I should have stopped it, and I didn't stop it. That's a mistake." I think it's very hard to find somebody with his communication skills and his touch with the players. So, a year from now, if he's managing the White Sox or the Padres, I would be the least surprised person in the room.
Richard Justice, MLB.com, joining us here on ESPN Central Texas. Hey, Richard, baseball's right around the corner, so I know that's exciting. We do appreciate your time, as always. Always a thrill to talk with you, and hope you have a great week.
Okay, thank you. You guys, too.
Thanks a lot. There's Richard Justice of MLB.com joining us here on ESPN Central Texas, talking a little bit about the Astros. He was just on Dan Patrick this morning, apparently, as well, over on Fox Sports Central Texas. So,
so he saved the best for last, then, I guess.
Yeah,
is what you're
exactly
saying.
Right. but I'm sure he's in high demand right now because he's just very good at what he does. And obviously he's got some ties there to Houston and experience down there. And it's a big story. It is a big story.
What's not funny, but what's different about it is, we talked to Hunter Atkins yesterday, and I asked him about the World Series. I asked him about the run of the last few years and how he looks back at that now. And he's like, "Oh, it's great. You know, had to win a World Series. It was awesome and all that." And then we talked to Richard Justice, and he's like, "No, it's a big asterisk. It's a big black eye. So what I was trying to get to with Hunter, where he thought it was like kind of no big deal, it's just like, hey, they still won a World Series. Everything is great. You talk to Richard, and it's like, yeah, that's still it's a bad look. It doesn't look good, and now there's always going to be the questions on how much that really helped him.
Yeah, I think maybe Hunter was looking at it from the standpoint of, well, they got a World Series out of it, so I mean, maybe that to him, I don't want to speak for him, but maybe that to him was just like, well, that's not going to go away, so you still got that, and you never had one before, so maybe some fans will view it like, hey, it was worth it.
Oh yeah, I know
got
a lot
the
of
World Series.
I know a lot of fans are probably saying that, but I just think in general, when you look back at it, man, it, like you said, it was a great run, but now I mean, you question everything.
Well, you do, and you can't convince everybody now that it wasn't happening at all last season and that they just decided to stop doing it because it wasn't as effective suddenly, mostly because people started catching on to the fact that you were doing it. And that's when all those teams, you started to hear about teams like telling other teams before they played the Astros, like, hey, man, know you're going to play Houston soon, but just be on the lookout for this. I mean, it was obviously starting to spread that they were up to some, you know, some foolishness. And finally, just, you know, the word that Hunter kept using yesterday, hubris. I mean, I think that was a great word to use. Like, their own hubris brought them down. But, you know, it's fans. So fans just disregard so many other things when it's not their team. And so the entire baseball world is looking at the Astros right now and going, that World Series title is tainted. It will always be tainted because we can never say for sure how clean that World Series title was. And I'm sure Astros fans say, it doesn't matter, we still got it, and that's fine. So Astros fans are going to always move forward with that opinion that, hey, they're World Series champs and nothing anybody can do about it. And the rest of the world is going to move forward saying, you got a World Series, but it needs an asterisk next to it. So I just think that that's, you know, and maybe Houston, or maybe Hunter being more Houston-based, he's kind of got more of that fan-based perspective versus a guy who's on the outside looking in like a Richard Justice is all I can really think of as far as the differing opinions there. But yeah, Astros fans don't care for the most part because, hey, they got the World Series. But everybody else is saying that thing is dirty, like mm-hmm. that you did not deserve that World Series. And I hate that for Astros fans. I do. As a fan of a team that's never won a World Series, that'd be a really hard question. Like, hey, the Rangers can win a World Series, but you're going to have to deal with fallout like two, three years later. Would it be worth it? I wonder what people would right. say to that. Would it be worth it?
I think a lot of people would be like, yeah, it'd be worth it.
I don't know, man. I'd have to really sit down and think about that because I've lived my whole life with no Rangers World Series. I think I'd rather be fine with them just being kind of the same old team than being known for that, but also having a World Series.
Patriot fans
sure,
sleep fine at night.
They do. They do.
Patriot fans are happy. They come walking through the door skipping.
Yeah, they do. So, I mean, if that's how you are, then no problems taking that championship. I just feel a little bit dirty doing it. So, for the Astros, a very interesting year upcoming with hires they're going to have to make in the next few weeks for at least their manager position and also their GM position, even though that might be within their own doors already. Whoever that candidate will be could very well be in-house. But, yeah, man, that just took a big turn yesterday. Mm-hmm. We knew it was going to be bad. We knew it was going to be some type of pretty heavy punishment. It could have always been worse, but they still put it on them pretty good, Houston, and now they're scrambling to reorganize that front office and looking at that window of opportunity, getting a lot slimmer quicker than it was supposed to as a result of yesterday's news as well. So thank you to Richard Justice for joining us. Always great to talk to him from MLB.com. And do we have any exact pitchers and catchers report days going? But I don't know that for sure off the top of my head, but I know we're not far away from that. So that'll be fun to get baseball ramped up back again as well. We'll take our final break of the day here. Come back and see what's coming up on You Make the Call. This is ESPN Radio.
Baylor Big 12 basketball all season long with Pat and John on ESPN Central Texas.
The Bears back home in the Farrell Center Wednesday hosting Iowa State. 6:30 for the countdown to tip-off. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off Wednesday for the Bears and the Cyclones Big 12 basketball.
Follow the Bears all season long here on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas.
Touchdown! At the drop of the tailgate, here's your touchdown meal. Kick off your tailgate party with Slovacek West tailgate boxes. Each box feeds 10 people with delicious savings of your choice. Smoked barbecue brisket, pulled pork, Slovacek sausage, and more. Every box contains everything you need to make that extra point, including sides, utensils, sauce, tea, cups, and ice. Customize and order your tailgate box by 2 p.m. and it will be ready to pick up the next day. Don't punt when you can score big with Slovacek's West. Slovacek's, you'll love our sausage.
There's only one Motor Trend Truck of the Year. It's Ram from Alan Samuels. Ram, back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year for 2019 and 2020. Now, kick off the new year with remarkable savings on new Rams during the Alan Samuels Start Something New sales event. This special 2020 New Year's event is underway right now, and you can save thousands on new Rams. Ram, for your family, farm, or business, at Waco's most trusted dealer, Alan Samuels. Alan Samuels Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, your friend in the car business.
Start a Ram. Save thousands at Alan Samuels. A new 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Quad Cab. MSRP $35,535. Now just $24,995. A new 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Regular Cab. MSRP $31,285. Now just $23,995. And yes, there's more. Get another $1,000 off when financed by Chrysler at the Start Something New sales event at Allen Samuels.
Ask for details. All offers with approved credit.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you? Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our 5-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
Visit Balcones Whiskey Distillery Tasting Room and Gift Shop, located in downtown Waco. Grab some friends and enjoy whiskey flights, refreshing cocktails, gift shopping, distillery tours, and special events. Sign up for one of their 10 weekly tours offered Tuesday through Saturday. Check their website, balconesdistilling.com/visit, for available times and book your spot today. Tours are $15 a person and include a tasting. Always distilled to appreciate. Balcones is located downtown on the corner of Franklin and 11th, open Tuesday through Sunday.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update, brought to you by Slavocic Sausage in West. The Baylor men are number 2 in both polls this week. Scott Drew joined the Matt Mosley Show on Monday and discussed the calming effect of Jared Butler.
The strength in any good team is you have to have multiple people who can step up, and you have to have depth, because not everyone's going to have an on night every night, and that's why it takes a team to win. And the one thing that I was really pleased with was when Jared did get going, our guys did a great job to continually find him. And sometimes you find teams where someone gets going and another person wants it to be their time or wants to get in the act. Again, when you have some working, just like Freddie, we were able to get him back-to-back layups. And the team, why we've been good is we have multiple weapons. And
Baylor welcomes Iowa State to the Farrell Center Wednesday night.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
Back here on ESPN Central Texas, and we are about out of time on today's show, but covered a lot of ground, got some good feedback from you as well, and maybe, just maybe, when we get on the airwaves tomorrow, Baylor will have a head football coach, but I'm not banking on it based on the last few days, and don't know how long we'll be playing this game, but once that news drops, that will obviously be a big question answered, and we can go from there, but we'll see whether or not that announcement's made by noon tomorrow. You banking on it?
No.
Me neither.
No, I think that it'll be made by Friday. I think that there'll be a decision made by the end of the week.
You think it has to happen this week?
I would think so. I mean, yeah, as me far too. As recruiting goes, I think it just has to get done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that they're going to hire Joey McGuire. That's my gut feeling.
Well, Charlie Brewer just put out another tweet, and he doesn't tweet very often.
He's been tweeting a lot lately.
But he put out a coach who loves his university and loves coaching, at Coach McGuire BU, and it was a reply or a quote tweet where he had quoted, or he had put that language, a coach who loves his university and loves coaching, at Coach McGuire BU, above a video from Barstool Sports where they showed Ed Orgeron walking up to the stadium yesterday. So Edo, obviously a guy who loves LSU and loves to coach, and so Charlie Brewer making the connection there and just showing further support for Joey McGuire. So we'll see how this all plays out. I really have no idea.
I don't either.
No idea whatsoever.
I'm just going with my gut feeling.
Yeah. David Smoak now joins us in studio to break Baylor head coaching news. What's going on tonight?
Don't look at me. I have heard nothing. And that's kind of what happened the last time, if you think about it. I mean,
it seemed that there were at least more names being tossed around last time. There's not even really names being tossed around this time. Like, once we got, like, the first five out, and three of them were from the last time around, yeah. The other ones were Billy Napier and Joey McGuire. It's like nothing's changed.
But see, all the names last time were all wrong anyway.
Yeah. There were names
and they're
last
the same names
year.
Being brought up again. Right. Sonny Dykes.
I was at a media. Where was I? I was somewhere on campus. And I saw a report from a guy who covers SMU that Chad Morris had been offered the job at Baylor.
Mm. It's actually a girl, because she now works for Arkansas because she followed Chad there.
Okay. Well, now he's gone from there, too. And so I text Mac Rhodes, the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he called me immediately. And I'm telling you right now, that was never even in the mix.
Right.
And you have that being reported, which means Morris had to have fed that, or agents.
Well,
agents are good at that, too.
Yeah, that was Chad Morris saving face is what that was.
Sure it was.
That was him like, oh, no, I had no interest in the job I wasn't going to get.
And I remember talking to him myself a couple of different times. But There's no question he was interested. Whether he really wanted the job or not, he was absolutely interested in the job. He's good people. But that proved to be completely not even, you know. I still don't know if the Gundy stuff was ever legitimate. Of course, he likes to put his name out there about every other year. Mm-hmm. So
you talk about a guy who flirts. That dude flirts every offseason and then never does anything. It's kind of like Gary Patterson was for a little while, where he looked like he might be tempted to go somewhere else, but ultimately stayed with TCU. That's pretty much what Gundy does.
Scott Drew, Paul, just came back from a Baylor media session. The men's basketball team at home tomorrow night against Iowa State after the great wins on the road against Texas Tech and Kansas. Also, David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. He'll be he'll be almost uncontrollable as an LSU fan, as will our producer, Garrett Ross. And then John McClain, Hall of Famer, and his thoughts about as they're slowly leaking out these names, what they did with Bill Cowher, what they did with Jimmy Johnson, and it's kind of outside the box for a place that used to be so stoic, mm-hmm. you know? But there's so many names.
Tomorrow morning on Good Morning Football is going to be the rest of the names are going to be announced.
Are they really?
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
So this is not going to be the day before the game.
No, this won't be the slow leak process. We'll get all the nuts and bolts tomorrow.
I'll never forget there was a couple of times when I was actually in a room where they announced the finalists, and you came back. And it was a room behind a couple of black curtains. You'd see maybe teams running off the court into the locker room area. Mm-hmm. And that was the size of the room.
Wow.
It was like just a black couple of black curtains.
Yeah, yeah.
And 12 chairs, you know. So, all right, well, we'll discuss that a little bit with John McClain today. Plus, we'll look at a little bit more Jim Crane, some audio from him on the Astros scandal. And, of course, look back at the LSU season that might be as dominating as anyone we've ever seen.
All right, sounds good. That's what's coming up next on You Make the Call. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. Noah will be talking at least with Jeff Howe of Horns 24/7. UT made another co-DC hire today. So we'll at least have some coaching search news to talk about with Jeff, or some new additions and what all they have to still fill on that coaching staff. And we'll see what happens between now and tomorrow at noon, but that's when we will talk to you again. Fellas, anything before we go?
No.
All right. Stephen Simcox, appreciate it. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. This is ESPN Central Texas.